I always say, I get this question all the time. Would you ever do that celebrity boxing stuff? Yeah. Dude, A, ease on the term celebrity. Yeah. Also, B, if you see, if you're here with Bert, you know, a year from now,
yeah,
and you're like, damn, you see Shabs fighting fucking Nick Lachey? You know what I'm saying? Like, business isn't going well.
100%.
You got a black belt though, right?
Yeah, dog.
Okay. Just making sure.
What's up, man?
I mean, I just, you know, I was gonna,
skeptical?
Yeah, I just wanted, I mean, you actually have one?
I have one.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I
okay.
actually have one.
Okay.
I sound like my son right now.
Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry.
That's how it went down.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's how it went down. Because I signed him up for jiu-jitsu, and then he's going, and, you know, I'm taking him to the side, coaching him, and then we're walking out, and he goes, Dad, look, I mean, look at that. Look at the instructor, Dad. He has a black belt. And,
yeah.
You know, he's like, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. And he goes, do you think you could beat him up? I go, me? Your dad? He goes, yeah. I go, Tiger, I beat up all the guys in the geese right there at one time. He goes, no. And he goes, you're a black belt? I go, and my thing is, I never lie to him. Like, you know, I'll tell like stories, whatever. I never want to lie to him.
Yeah.
And he goes, you have a black belt? I go, dude, like physically, do I have one at home?
Yeah.
No, but like your dad has the skill. Like, we can call my coaches. This is me. I'm like, we'll call my coach right now. You know,
and he's five,
he's
right?
He's five. I'm like, I'll call him up right now, bitch. Like, what's up? I'll call him right now. Yeah. He'll vouch for me.
Yeah.
He's like, but you don't have one? I'm like, I don't. But you know what we're going to do?
Yeah.
And so I call my coach right now, right there on the spot, in the car. He's on the spot. My son's like half asleep in the back. I'm like, wake up, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, coach, you know how you've been telling me for like the last 2 years to come out to Denver, New York to get my black belt? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm coming this fucking Friday. I'm bringing my kid. He's like, cool. We'll be ready to go. Booked the ticket, flew out there, rolled with the guys.
So your black belt was essentially waiting for you?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
For years.
So, and when did you start jiu-jitsu in, was it 07? Is that what I
said? Yeah, 07. 07.
And did you come into it with any wrestling background?
No, zero.
None.
Zero.
Did you take to it right away?
Right away.
Right away.
I just had like this weird knack for it. And then I was just drawn to jiu-jitsu. And then Shane Carwin, who's the heavyweight champ at the time, me and him walked in the gym at the same time. He only had one fight, but was like still working all the time. Mm-hmm. And then we're just two big boys. Then he took me under his wing. And then he was friends with the head coach, Lester Bowling, at University of Northern Colorado, which is the only Division I wrestling program in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like an hour and a half drive. So we would drive three times a week, and I'd work out with the team wrestling. And I'd go against their heavyweights. And even with like minimal training, I was doing pretty well.
Against their heavyweights.
Yeah, and Shane was like, dude, like, you could do this. I'm like, you think? He's like, this is what they do, man. And he's like, you're not doing bad. I was like, all right, fuck it.
And was Carwin a good wrestler?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
National champion at Western.
And his jiu-jitsu was good.
No, he was so big. He was like, you know, what's the thing from the
oh, I see.
Fantastic
like
Four.
More just like, yeah.
Good luck arm barring that fucking, you know,
right.
rhinoceros. You know,
right,
it was
right.
like a nightmare. He
right.
was just anti-wrestling, like basically anti-jiu-jitsu.
Really?
Yeah. He's a monster.
Because you have to be able to be a little more fluid to be good at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. And he's just like a meathead. We're both meatheads, but he's more meathead.
I fucking hated wrestling. I did it 1 year in school. I hated it.
It's tough, man.
It wasn't even like the work. I'm not saying like I don't like the work. I hated, like, I hate,
the head,
you know, we're just being like pressed up against the head, the neck. You know what I mean? Like any of that shit, I was like, fucking get, like, I like boxing workouts. I like.
Are
it.
You a hugger though?
Am I a hugger?
Yeah. Like, do you like when I came in here, I didn't give you a hug.
Yeah, it kind of sucked. I like hugs.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I was going to, and I was worried about your arm, you know?
No, it's fine.
All right.
We can hug on the way out.
100%.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Give me a big fucking hug.
Dude,
okay?
I'll fucking hug you.
You're going to hug the shit out of me?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And your producer.
Yeah. But I don't fucking neck. Can I tell you that even like playing around, not that this is, but like fucking around, somebody like goes like this to you, I fucking.
You freak out?
Freak out. Yeah, I really don't like it.
You don't like when someone touches your neck?
I don't like it at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. None of that stuff bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I embrace all
but
of
it. But I did embrace, I embraced boxing workouts immediately. I loved it.
Are you doing, but you can't do them now?
I have to wait a little bit, yeah.
But you're gonna, when you get back to Austin, you're find a coach and shit?
Yeah, yeah, because I enjoy it though. You know, like with any sport,
workout.
It's a great workout. I know it's not the same as like, I've only sparred like a couple times.
Don't
but
spar.
I'm not gonna do it anymore.
Smart people don't spar.
I'm not gonna spar anymore. But the whole thing is that like, I do also find that making the skill set better also feels like, you know, you feel like you're getting better at it.
It's cool.
You have to have
and when
the,
you're getting better, like you're burning calories, like it's a cool goal.
Yeah. And the workouts are enjoyable. Like, you know, you have like a really good mitt session with somebody, it feels you great. Feel the rhythm of it, you know, yeah. It feels
you
nice.
You come home, tell Christina, I'm thinking about take a fight.
Yeah.
Do you know you're watching that, Floyd Logan, like, I bet you I'd fuck Floyd up.
Fuck him up. The word, because that became big, it was, and it started to become like, now it's like, it's completely
like
pop culture.
Celebrity.
But it started about 2 years ago. Like, that's when it kind of started. In that time when I was working out at a gym, one of the guys was like, you know, you could probably take a fight. And I was like, I'm sorry? And he was like Staples Center? And I was like, Staples Center what?
Yeah, what?
And he was like, no, you could fight, like, and he was like, one of your friends, one of your comedian friends or something. I was like, I'm good. He was like, do you know how much money you can make? And I was like, do you know how much I make now?
Yeah, bitch, do you know, like, and I always say, I get this question all the time, would you ever do that celebrity boxing stuff? Yeah. Dude, A, he's on the term celebrity.
Yeah.
Also, B, if you're here with Bert, you know, a year from now,
yeah,
and you're like, damn, you see Shabs fighting fucking Nick Lachey, you know what I'm saying? Like, business isn't going well.
Yeah, no.
Like, I'm not selling tickets on the road.
Yeah.
Stand up has shit the bed.
It has.
The podcasts aren't going
and
well.
And also, you're probably gonna catch a fucking attempted murder charge if you fight like
a beat the shit out of him.
Oh my god.
Him or Mario Lopez, both can get it.
Yeah, they can both get it.
But
huh?
I've never do it unless The Rock like came after me.
Yeah.
Like talking shit all the time.
Would you love that though? To like, if it was against like the world's superhero,
like The Rock.
Here's
the
Dwayne.
Problem. Even my mom wouldn't be rooting for me. No, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody loves The Rock.
Everyone loves The
like,
Rock.
Like, I would just be like the heel.
I know.
I don't want. I'm too sensitive.
Yeah, but
like, I just can hate shit.
I'll
all
tell
the
you
time.
Who'd be in your corner. This guy right here.
This guy.
Yeah. I'd be like, fuck you, Dwayne. Yeah.
Fuck you, Dwayne.
Yeah, I'll be talking mad shit, dude.
Yeah, unless like The Rock comes after me, I'm not partaking.
God, I wish he didn't have so much going on so that he could find a beef.
Have
with
you ever
you.
Seen his schedule?
I follow him.
How much money you need, dude?
Yeah,
like, calm the fuck down.
It's
you don't need to do all those movies. Go home.
4:30 a.m. workouts, like 4:30 a.m. He's like, I need my anchor.
Yeah, like, it's like Mark Wahlberg. It's like, I wake up
same,
at 3,
same.
I go to bed at 6.
I did a movie with him. And
oh, really?
I was like, is that for real? And they were like, bro, we had 7 a.m. call times or 6 a.m. certain days. And they're like, he is coming from the gym here. And they were like, what he hates are these, any like night shoots, because it fucks up his,
oh, wow.
He goes to bed at like fucking 7 o'clock at night. So
his kids are like, dad, so boring.
So boring.
You get 2 hours with dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
also chill out though. You know?
It is. It's
hey,
a
Marky,
lot.
Hey, Marky, chill out. Like, yeah. I see those things. I'm like, nah,
you know
I
what I think
it.
Happens to these guys though? And it's the same kind of guy. It's Mark Wahlberg, it's The Rock, Kevin Hart,
Vin Diesel.
So
I see as a test.
Yeah.
As you pass. You pass. Yeah. He's nowhere. So, he's not in that list.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, Doug.
So, but Tom Cruise, this is what, when you hit the top tier of like, you're a top 5 box office draw in the world, and you actually, you get to sit in it for a moment. You're like, this, holy shit, I do a movie and like millions of people buy tickets and I'm on the lists and I make a just unimaginable
stupid
money.
Amount of money.
It's too addictive. It's too much of a rush, and your natural competitive juices take over and you go, I wanna stay here and progress. I want to beat. I'm number
off.
3. Yeah, yeah. And those guys all have that thing, and they all have a physical component to their lifestyle and who they
They're
are.
They're all words, monsters. Like Tom Cruise,
that guy's fucking like 60, and he's doing
monster.
He's doing action, doing
the
his
Rock's
own stunts.
A monster.
Monster. Mark. You know.
How long are we gonna pretend they're all not on juice, huh? How long do you want to do that? How long do you want to do that? I mean, we're just all gonna assume we're on the same protein powder.
The funniest is The Rock though, because
isn't it great?
It's great because I don't think people really understand that you don't just carry 265 in muscle with no body fat.
5%.
Like, you just
and he'll be like, cheat day. And you're like, yeah, you're
and by the way, scroll up a little bit. Scroll up. He always has that smile on these. See that right there? That smile is in like every post. But
dude,
like,
he's
so vascular,
so juicy.
And yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. And
but also, why like? If my agent called me up right now and was like, hey, Shab, crazy man, they don't even need you to audition. You're in the next Batman, but you got to put on 20 pounds of lean muscle. I would say, call up The Rock's guy right now and stick it in my ass.
Stick it in me.
Dude, whatever it takes.
Oh yeah.
I don't care why people care.
I don't care. I think it's great. I wish they talked about it more. I wish we did.
I wish they were more open about it. Oh, no, that's...
You know what that is, man? That's a lot of water. You got to drink water every day. And you got to eat chicken.
He's an animal. He does work his ass off.
He does work his ass. Of course he does. But you mean to tell me it's just fucking creatine powder and avocado?
Isn't it weird we all act like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's like...
Ugh. And they also act like if you go juice, they're like, you're fucking jealous or you're bitter or you wish you could... And you're like, hey, man, I thought we were talking about the obvious right
Yeah,
now.
I thought everyone knew.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with it, though. He's fucking Black Adam. Yeah, dude, get juicy.
Look at this one right here. Look at this, the shirt. Yeah. Click on that. I don't have to play the volume. I'm just like...
Dude, he has tits for days, too.
Come on, bro.
No, he's a monster, dude.
And also, this is a man in his late 40s. Let's not forget that. He's not late like 21.
He's not like a young spring chicken.
Look at this fucking... When he breathes, his muscles are like...
Jacked.
So jacked.
No, I celebrate.
If this was a not famous person and you saw this guy, you'd shit your pants. Everybody would be like, oh my fucking God, look at who this guy is.
No, dude, if he's in his late 40s and you saw this guy talking like he's at the gym, I would be like, oh, mental illness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
I wouldn't be like, oh, no, he's normal. Yeah, he's talking about like, you know, every time I work out, I drink this energy drink. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. We would roast the shit out of this guy.
Oh, yeah. And you definitely think he's crazy.
He's Moana, we're just going to pretend he's on fucking sauce.
Amazing year of growth thanks to your Zoe energy brand.
Clean natural energy. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah.
I love it though. He's crushing it.
He's like, I'm drinking my energy drink, and by the way, I have 100 cc's of HGH in my thigh right now.
By the way, I eat Anvar pills for breakfast. What's fucked up?
My fucking kidneys shut down earlier this week.
And I'm tied to a machine every night to clear out my system. But what's funny is he was like, you know, he does the vlogs. Like, I'm starting vlogs now.
Yeah.
And he does the vlogs and he's like, he looks in the camera. He's great. Most entertaining guy in the world. And he goes, you know, I'm doing a special thing today. My stunt double, who's been with me for 10 years, I'm going to give him the gift of a lifetime here. And I'm like, oh, damn, what's he giving them? Like
some Under Armour shoes?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking like, you know, some dope ass, like, is it a special edition, like Ferraris, Pista, we're talking about an F12 here, SF90, some fire shit.
Yeah.
In comes this F-150 that he's sponsored by.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, you didn't, bro. He's like, I did bring it here. I'm like, you know.
It's free.
You know this is advertising for them, and that was free.
Yeah,
that didn't cost him anything.
I know.
That's like him giving me a Snickers bar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I wish people with tons of money would just flex and spend it. Why does it always got to be a sponsored thing?
Always.
Right? Just buy it.
Just do it, dude.
That's not a fucking F-150.
But to your point about them being competitive as fuck,
yes.
Don't you think it's the same way in comedy?
Yes, and especially when you hit like notable, you know, like levels where it's like, once you go on a theater tour, you're not just like, cool, everything's good. You want to go on the bigger theater tour.
Into arenas.
Into arena. And then the big thing is if you study the like comedy arena business, most people don't do repeat arena tours.
Why?
Because your draw kind of peaks and then kind of like tapers out, you know? So
unless you're like Jumanji 2 or some shit.
Unless you're like Kevin. Kevin's like one of the few guys, Kevin, Russell Peters, trying to think, Chappelle doesn't like playing arenas. He does them.
But he doesn't like the big theater.
I mean, I think he's always said that he prefers like clubs and like smaller venues. He does them whenever he wants. So he can keep doing them.
But there's a certain amount of guys, like did you see Forbes top 10 list?
Recently, no.
Yeah, like Sebastian's on there.
Mm-hmm. For this year? Because this year would be a weird year.
No, not this year. Like it previous? Had to be last year. Yeah, like this year, you know, I think.
Seinfeld's been on it for like 20 years.
Yeah, he's on there every year.
Yeah.
Every fucking year.
Yeah.
Him and like Jay Leno.
Yeah, and Rock was still like, I guess there's the 2019 one. Yeah, I remember that.
I think I made the 2020 list because I was one of five comics touring.
Sure, yeah. You should. it's a crazy, Gaffigan's on it a bunch. Amy, let's see, she's probably been on it a bunch. So Aziz was on it.
Jeff Dunham.
He's been on it, I'm sure, a dozen or
dude,
more.
Dude, I was doing stand-up live in Phoenix, and they wanted to add a show, and I was feeling myself. And I told my team, I'm like, all right, we're going to go buy Phoenix Suns jerseys. And it was 3 in the afternoon, and I look over because right across from where the Suns play, and it's packed. I'm like, yeah, well, the Suns aren't fucking playing. Why is it so packed? And they go, it's Jeff Dunham. I go, the puppet guy? Oh, yeah. He has 4 sold-out shows there. He does 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. And I go, he has a 4 o'clock show? They go, yeah. I go, holy fuck.
That he's the reason, and being able to do that is why all these dipshit managers will tell like comedians started like, be clean, you know, which is like, it's bad. You should be what you are.
Whatever fits.
But like with Jeff, the thing is that when you think about his draw, that's so different from most comedians, you know, we play, it's obviously a nightclub thing. It's mostly, you know, adult humor or whatever. For sure. You're doing clubs and maybe theaters and stuff. He, because he's so clean, he can do, like,
dude, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock shows?
4 o'clock with
he
puppets.
Can do like those, he does shows in like those mega churches. You know, yes. You see like those mega churches in the South. He can be like, you know what? On our way to that show, there's this town that has a 9,000 seat mega, we'll just do a show.
Sells it out.
So
monster.
All those, yeah, he can play to those.
Were you a guy, when, probably not now because you've made it, but when you were coming up, were you a guy that compared yourself to other comics?
Well, I think.
Like, would you get jealous when like, not Bert because you're a boy, but other people would be like, damn, he's in theaters?
Oh.
I hear that a lot from other guys right now.
I mean, I don't know if I was like, man, he's, I was more like, more like a student, I feel like, more like studying it, you know, and like, or I would work, you know, I opened for like everybody because I was plugged in, I got in with the improvs and Funny Bones, so I would work all those clubs, like coast to coast.
Which are the best ones to be in with.
Those are the A clubs. Spots, yeah. So like you're opening for a lot monsters. Of times, yeah, and known celebrity. And then I could see, like I would start to figure out, I was like, oh, this person sold tickets because they're famous.
Yep.
And I would note like, that was like a happening a lot. And then you would, the ones who were really good at stand up were way smaller percentage. Like of all the celebrities and well-known people I opened for, I would say like 10 to 15% were really good comedians.
But those 10 to 50% now are probably way bigger. Still,
yeah.
Doing it because
they're the ones
it's
that
a
continue.
Marathon, not a sprint.
So exactly.
You know how it is. You'll see someone with shit material, but people like, oh, they're in this movie or
yeah.
They did this show and you know who they are. We don't need to name them. And even at the Comedy Store, you'll see them, they'll pop in
yeah.
And they're sandwiched between real comics. You're like, oh, you.
Oh, and sometimes when those, now that like we know what we're doing and know what I'm looking at, when I see like those, like a celebrity comic pop in, I'm like, you're going to eat shit on
you're
this show.
Shit. And I can't
and
wait
do.
To watch.
Hey, I'm going to.
Yeah, I'm going to sit around for this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to make sure you see me,
yeah, me
after
too.
Your set so you know I saw it too.
Yeah, you so know? You know. Yeah. And then I just yeah. go by and go, oh, that's
yeah.
tough, dude.
Yeah. No, I was out
Did
there,
you see
man.
Tom, though? They like yeah, Tom. Yeah, that's yeah. They like
well,
Tom, though. It's
it was. It's funny, too, because like you realize that you can end up like that, meaning that you can end up being like, well, if I'm known enough, you can like get away with it, you know?
It's so short-lived, though.
It's so short-lived.
Because then
and
people,
because like,
when you think about it, there's comics out there, those famous comics, celebrities who sell tickets, and their tickets, you know, $100 a piece or $200 a piece. So you bring your girl, you're like a $400 night plus dinner plus drinks. So say $600 with parking and babysitters. $600, you better be fucking good.
Yeah.
They get back home like, you're all right.
Yeah, no,
like,
you want
you,
people
you think
to
it was
be
that
like,
great? Nah, it wasn't that great.
When is that person coming
for sure.
back?
Yep.
Like that was the best. Like, and that when they you do announce, they're like, we bought on the fucking presale. Yep. Like we could not miss you.
Yeah,
you know, because it's all about them coming back.
Yep,
you know,
that's what it is.
Yeah, I used to, man. I don't think I really. I mean, I probably we all have like you know hints of jealousy and stuff when you're, especially when you're young. You're like, how did that person get that? You know, but I think
I don't have
was,
that. Well, I think I got in the game later. You know, and there's not that. And then all my peers, like you guys, are like so much more successful. So I'm like, yeah, of course they're better. You know what I mean,
well,
like,
these did it longer.
Yeah, you know? That's what I'm saying. It's like, so I think I took your approach where I just learned, I like,
it's the way
I
to
just
do it.
Soak it all
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And then it's not like, oh, I'm going to be there. I'm like, yeah, I'll get there, man. I'll get there.
Which
it's
is
it's a marathon.
That's exactly how I used to approach it. Cause yeah. I would just go like, I would look at my year and I'd be like, all right, this year I featured at like, let's say 20 clubs. And I made, you know, $30,000 or whatever it was. And I would go like the next year, I just was like, I just want it to be better than this year.
Yeah.
And like that thing where I was like this, you know, I ended up featuring at 40 clubs this
yep.
year and I made $20,000 more.
Yep.
So I would look at that as just progress and just trying to like make that progress happen by putting in work.
Yep.
So
my thing now is like, I'll look at like if we go back to a certain city, like if it's not selling more, then I didn't do my job. That's not,
yeah.
That's not the people. So the way I gauge success now is, so let's say I was in San Antonio 2 years ago. Well, I'm going there in September. So if I can't sell more in September,
yeah.
then I'm messing up. It's on me.
Okay.
So I gauge all my success based off selling
the ticket
more
sales.
In each market. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good way to see that it's moving along on the business side. And then yeah. you have to ask, like, because I would always try to go like, am I writing better material?
Correct.
You know, and like, that's usually a thing that only you can really answer.
Yep.
You know, and it sometimes it makes you have like tough conversations with yourself, but it's ultimately good. I mean,
you have to.
There's kind of like a parallel in a way with like athletics in that way, right?
It's where pretty you're
like,
black and white.
Yeah, where you're like, am I?
Yeah, and am I? You know, if you're a quarterback, it's like, am I scoring enough touchdowns, winning games?
Yeah,
and
am I winning games?
It's like, are they laughing? Am I selling tickets?
Yeah.
Well, no, or they didn't laugh at this. Well, it's pretty black and white.
Yeah, and
there's
no
gray.
You can choose. That's the thing. It's one of those things where you can choose to be as delusional as you want to be. And we see right in front of us the delusional people. I mean, you have small delusions to yourself. We all do all the time where you'll be, you know, like something, a joke is just kind of a half-assed joke and you'll just be like, I just won't work on that.
Yeah,
like you'll you'll know it sucks.
You're like, there's more there.
Yeah, and I'll be like, but that would take effort.
Yeah, I know.
So then you just, you know, and then one day you're like, that joke, fucking, and then you finally address it.
I also think, you know, when you look at specials these days, and this is what I want to talk to you either on or off air about this. You can answer this if you want. Talking to, you know, Netflix and Comedy Central and Showtime, HBO, you talk to all these people when you shoot your special. And in their analytics, you know, analytics, that's what it is. It's pretty black and white.
Yeah.
We know that people stop watching specials at 28 minutes.
Yeah.
They come, some might come back, half come back. Some might finish, you might have the outliers who finish all. But whether it's Kevin Hart, Jerry Seinfeld, Dave Chappelle,
they
stop watching at 28 minutes.
Yeah.
Yet the industry we're in, people say, you got to do an hour.
Yeah.
On the road, no doubt, people are paying money, you got to do an hour, dude. But when we're looking at like what people are watching, why we keep the people who run this industry keep pushing hours to me is weird.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is,
when I hear 20 minutes, I go, well, everyone should do 30.
Yeah, everyone should do 30.
Everyone should do 30, though. They're like, yeah, I know they should.
For the specials, you kind of should. I think we're married to, we know that what, you know, if you become a headliner, you do an hour, right?
So on the road.
On the road.
Yeah.
What's funny, though, is that, I mean, at Netflix, they have encouraged and aggressively encouraged trimming down these specials.
Why do you think that is?
No, I know.
That's
it's
what I'm
because
saying.
Of
I
that
know
data.
The analytics.
But they're just like, because I have a tendency on all of them to, I shoot a really long set. And then the hardest thing is like paring it down for the
editing it, cutting it down.
Cutting it down. And like I've cut down, you know, 10 minutes out of one, 12 out of one. And then it'll still be too heavy, like too fat for them. And they'll be like, they've encouraged like delivering like a 50 minute special. You know, they're like, deliver that.
And I've also had from a friend who just signed a deal with them that they go, hey, so people, a lot of people watch in the beginning and then even less than 20 minutes. So put your closer at the top.
Oh, I've heard that.
Just to keep them. Don't save your best shit.
Open
at the
strong.
Because they're not going to get there.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are we doing?
I know. Well, that's the other thing, though, is like if you're touring with that hour of time, you probably feel like when it comes time to shoot, you're just like, well, let's just shoot this, you know?
But think about it. It's like when you shoot a special, then you got to write a whole new hour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have an hour on the road, you shoot 30 of that.
Yeah.
You have 30 to go out with on the road. And
oh,
you have to write
totally.
30.
Totally.
It
no.
makes so much more sense to me.
It does. And it's
with this old school model that Richard Pryor really ingrained in everybody for to do this hour special. It's like, this is the standard.
If everybody,
the audience is telling you,
they're telling
you,
we
have these numbers.
The intention span is much shorter.
Yeah.
If it was like mandated or like if totally embraced to do like 30 minute specials, I mean, I think it would be a huge celebration. Like people would be able to be like, oh, I can deliver one of those every few months.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it'd be great, man. It'd be great.
I mean, we could do it.
Yeah.
You just got to do it.
You just got to do it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a reason why they started doing 15 minute stuff on Netflix is because they're like, you know, we told you they watch half hours. They actually watch 15 minutes.
I guess the 15 is pretty hot. Yeah, you got to have a hot 15.
And now if you have 15 minute special, you better fucking destroy.
Destroy. Yeah. It'll be hot 15.
Hot 15. Yeah. Man.
Don't give us any build up.
Cause I still think this thing when people are like, who like, you know, people ask like, what comics do you like watching and who's hilarious? And I'll be like, I'll tell you one thing though, no matter who you like, there's nothing as funny, nobody as good as a feature in their prime, like about to pop.
Oh, dude.
Like
with
a guy
15,
who's working
20?
Every week doing his 20. And I go, you could put that guy in front of any, you put him in front of Chappelle and Hart and Rock and Rogan and whoever. I go, that guy will knock everyone's dick off because he does 20 minutes all the time.
Yes.
And Because I remember if you look like the hardest I've ever crushed. I mean, I've had great headlining sets, but there was a period right before you headline where you're a murderous middle act, where it's like, if you pop in on like the store and you do those 20 minutes, people will be like, I don't want any part of this.
Nothing.
Yeah, because it's just, that's all you do.
You look at the headline, like, have fun, bud.
Have fun with that.
Have fun with that, dog. Yeah. Thanks for having me, bud.
I mean, I had a couple sets, that like memorable sets, where like when I was featuring, where the headliner did like 38 minutes. And he was like, I'm not.
Yeah, man, fuck this.
He's like,
noise.
Fuck that.
Good for him.
Like, yeah.
Well, it's like when I was in Miami working, and I was like, I gotta get on stage. So I hit up the improv. I'm like, yeah, we'll give you a spot. We'll give you 15 minutes, man. I was like, who's the headliner? Because the headlining club.
Yeah.
You just can't pop. It's not the store. You can't just pop in. And I go, it's Miss Pat. And I don't know her, but I know you guys know her.
Yeah, well. I know Miss Pat.
So I text you. I was like, hey, what's up, Miss Pat? She nice. You know, what you do? And you're like, you know, go big. It's a black audience. Go big.
Yeah.
And I haven't done 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I don't know how long.
It's a big shift change. People don't realize that.
The cab there, I'm like, okay, what are we going
to
come out
with? It's funny
that?
Because you go, you're used to doing hour sets and 15 is going to give you trouble. And you're like, yes, because I haven't done that.
I'm trying to shuffle like, oh, I got to edit this bit, edit this bit. It went all right. You know, it went good.
Yeah.
I can handle myself. It went all right. But then Miss Pat comes on stage. You know, she was so nice in the back. I'm like, oh, cool. I didn't know she's like, the female version of Joey Diaz.
Oh yeah.
She went out there and just, she goes, you fucking, you know, Salt Black Crash. She goes, you fucking pussies. You're going to cheer for that handsome white boy?
Yeah.
You're going to laugh at his shit at my show? I'm like, I'm in the back like, what the fuck? What the fuck happened to Nice
Miss
Pat?
She's a monster.
Dude, she's a monster.
She's a monster.
Monster.
Yeah, Miss Pat can light, blow torch.
Oh, she blew that room apart.
Yeah, and like if she, like she was, she's another, I mean, she's a headliner, but like, if you told her do 20 in front of me, I'd be like, good luck. Like she's going to fucking torch the room.
Kill it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I always tip my hat to these guys like Joe and like Russell, who they would bring people like Diaz and to open
Monsters.
For them. Cause they're like, go ahead.
Oh,
go
dude,
and
I got David Lucas. I don't even know David Lucas.
I did. I just saw him. I was in Austin and I saw him do
it. Did you see his set?
Yeah, he killed it.
Dude.
Killed it.
So I bring
Wait, two, do you roll like nine deep?
Features.
I saw you on a...
Yeah, I'm,
I
like,
saw,
I'm like Nelly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like Big Pun in the Terror Squad. But like, it makes no sense. My business guy's like, you know you're not making any money bringing all these guys, right? I'm like, shut up. So, I bring David.
Starting defenses out there? I mean, there's like so many people.
David Lucas walked in the green room the first weekend he's working with me. You know, it's all my brother who's my manager. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
Chappelle, big dude. Mm-hmm. I bring my my good friend Mark Harley. He's just a great guy. He takes care of everything. But everyone's like...
He's not a comic.
No.
Okay.
He's a personal trainer, actor.
Okay.
He's on Nickelodeon. Like, he's an actor.
Okay.
And so everyone's big. David walks in and goes, damn, this is all fuck you up tour. But, so I bring, you know, I have Justin Elliott is the MC, and then David goes on, David Lucas, who's a monster, and then Chappelle does 20, and then I'll come on.
Wow.
But it's like monster.
But it raises, see, that's great because it raises the show.
I haven't felt like that. Don't get me wrong, Chappelle's a monster, but me and Chappelle's one of my best friends, so we're really close, and I know his act, and, you know, he knows my act. But then when David Lucas opened, he came when I was doing the Vulcan Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hey, man, mind if I get a set? And I've always liked him at the comedy store. He's been really nice. I've never seen him do comedy. I knew he's a roast guy in Tony Hinchcliffe's show. I was like, dude, I'll give you 10 minutes. Blew it up to the point I was nervous in the back. I was like, ah, fuck, here we go.
Yeah.
And then that's where the athlete in me comes. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to make me better.
Exactly.
It's like when you're sparring, you don't want to spar the real shitty guy.
Yeah.
If you want to get to the next level, you got to go with a really good guy.
Exactly.
So I hit him up. I'm like, dude, you're in. He's like, what? I'm like, you're coming with me for the rest of the time.
Yep. That is the right. And that, I think it take like, it's more natural to athletes like you to go like, you know what? This is going to make me better.
That's how I'm going
to
get better.
Because most people have that resistance to it. But every time, like when I do these shows, I want to bring a really strong opener. I want the show to be great.
I never get why headliners bring shitty comics.
Because they're scared.
I know they're scared.
And they're weak.
Yeah, and they're weak. And they're insecure.
It's usually, I mean,
but it's like, you know that the audience has to sit through that.
Yeah.
So when you get on stage, they're all, right, go.
They want to look like the savior or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's interesting. There are like, there's a, usually that thing is a shit act. Like it's a shitty, like I, the
what
shittiest,
mean?
Well, the shittiest headliner, one of the shittiest headliners I ever opened for, who I'll tell you off.
Oh, Mike, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's pretty, you'll be like, oh yeah. But, like pretty notable person, and I saw their act and I was like, you fucking suck. And so this guy had me host, right? So I was hosting and he had a middle act. His middle act was hands down one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. I was doing 10 minutes, as that, which was like the standard time at like a comedy club. Yeah. Host does 10, middle 20, and you know. So I'm up there, I do 10. Second show, they asked me to do 5. And the next night, he goes, will you do a tight 3? And I was like...
A tight 3?
Yeah.
You mean announce your name? Yeah, just,
I was like, and they're like, you'll get paid the same. I'm like, oh, 50 bucks still?
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Dude.
So I'm like, okay. And I did it. And the guy in the middle... So I would get him going. And then one time I came back, the feature left. He would just eat just horrific dog.
And I mean, did he realize? It's weird to me when guys don't realize it.
He knows he sucks. He's like, I'm terrible. Like he was terrible.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy's cool.
Yeah, he's likable.
It's the worst thing when the guy goes, crushed.
Yeah,
it.
I'm like, I wanted to be like, oh, those guys are
crushed.
So deluded.
Or no, killed. I killed, dude.
Sometimes those guys, I'll watch a guy like have a bad set and they come off and you're like, how was that? And they're like, they're good. And you're like,
really?
Really? You mean like as people? Like you met them?
Yeah, you mean like, yeah, good heart? Or yeah. What are we talking about here, man?
I was talking about, yeah.
Yeah, what world are you fucking living in?
This guy, this shitty comedian, when the guy got off stage, one time I went up and I did a joke between the feature, the horrible feature, and the headliner, and they're like, don't do that either. Because like you got them kind of going again.
Yeah, what are you doing, dude? You're making them laugh? You piece of shit?
Yeah. And then
you know you're not gonna get your 50 bucks, right?
on top of all of that, I fucking sat in the green room with this shitty headliner and riffed on one of his bits. He was like, can I use that? And I was like, sure. And so I ended up writing a couple jokes for him.
Say, thanks for the jokes, man. Here's
50 bucks, doc.
You know what's weird too is my boy Ricky Cruz and Luis Diaz, they're in Miami. They're local Miami comics. When I first worked with them at the Miami Improv, Luis comes in, he's this, you know, big fat Cuban guy, and Ricky used to be roommates with Joey Diaz. Monster, like local monster. Came out to LA and then had kids, moved back, but
yeah.
Monster. All the local references,
yeah.
Lights the room on fire.
Sure.
I have a funny story I can't tell on this about him opening for a headliner that we know.
Okay.
But
and giving him trouble?
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the manager was like, he told the headliner, this is the manager of Miami, goes to the headliner we know, he goes, hey, so I think what we should do is Ricky should probably close it out and then you host and do like have fun and bring in the feature. And then
and
he wouldn't do it.
He
wouldn't do it. He's like, no, I sold the tickets there to see me. He's like, I know, but it's not going well. And I don't know if you see people leaving and walking, but we can't have that.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care. I'm headlining.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, dude, what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, good for him.
I mean, but back to, this is always weird to me. Luis Diaz he came in the green room and he goes, I'm just grabbing water, man. I'm being your way. I'm just gonna grab water. I go, what are you doing, dude? Introduce yourself. What are you, weird? Like, what do you have autism? What are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, Forrest Gump, get back in here.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, oh, I don't, most headliners won't let anybody in the green room.
Really?
I go, who have the fuck you been working with? He goes, oh, they won't even allow me to, you know, take a drink or anything, man. I just want a cup of water. I'm like, really? There's bottled water. He goes, oh, I don't touch that. I'm like, God.
This is when you met him.
This is like 2 years ago.
This is Ricky?
Luis Diaz.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? What headliner is such like, assholes?
Take a seat. Yeah. I remember, well, I had what's his name? Robert Schimmel, who passed away. The sweetest man. And I remember because I had worked one weekend. I worked a few weekends with Charlie Murphy, and one weekend they were like, I walked into the green room, and the guy goes, what are you doing? And this is like just some guy. And I was like, he's like, oh yeah, you can't be in there. And I was like, where am I supposed to
hang, yeah, man?
He was just like, find somewhere out here.
Just like chill around the crowd.
And I was like, okay.
Even Mrs. Pat's room was a little bit, like I remember her guy who does, she usually just brings one guy on the road, so they did me a favor by letting me go between them.
Mm-hmm.
But he usually does 25 to 30, and then she comes on, does her hour.
Okay.
That's what she does. But then I was back there just, you know, I don't know Miss Pat. My green rooms are fun, man. Like, we're not going to war here. Like,
yeah.
The best jobs in the world.
Yeah.
So everyone be cool. Yeah. So I'm talking to her, and I hear him go to my videographer who's with me. He goes, hey, does he always talk this much, man? And that was the cue. I was like, I'm just going to find a spot out there. And I see how this is.
Yeah,
yeah, I get this. You don't talk that much, man?
Yeah. He talks a lot, you know?
Yeah, he talk a lot, huh?
Yeah, they told me to, like, wait outside. And I was like, okay.
Isn't that weird?
Huh?
That's fucking weird.
It was super weird. I didn't feel like it didn't. I mean, you know, it could be from Charlie. It felt like it was like whoever this guy's job was. He was just like, I keep people out of here.
Charlie had a tough gig because obviously Eddie Murphy's his brother.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He gets he's funny as fuck on Chappelle's show, and then
yeah.
He's headline.
Yeah.
Paired Rogan, like, and then they paired him and Rogan together.
That's how I met
and Rogan. Rogan be like, bro, like, I'm just doing you a solid. I know your name's on there, but you should go before me.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not an ego thing. I've just been doing this a lot longer, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it should work.
But Charlie insisted on taking mm-hmm. turns.
And that you said that's how you met Rogan?
That's how I met Rogan.
Oh, really?
So I won a contest. That's how I met Rogan.
What contest?
To host, to do 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
On those shows. So it was called the Maxim Bud Light Real Men of Comedy Tour.
Hell yeah.
And there
we're
was a
never going to see that again in 2021.
But never. And it was Charlie, Joe, and Heffron. And Charlie and Joe were like the co-headliners. And then Heffron was due 15 minutes. And then if they had contests regionally across the country, because let's say it was like 20 national shows. So I showcased at Irvine and I won the contest. And then they go, you're going to do 3 shows on this tour. You're going to do Irvine, San Diego, and Phoenix.
And at this point, you're like what in comedy?
Are you
hosting, featuring?
Yeah, I'm starting to feature. No, I've been featuring like a year.
Okay.
A year and a half maybe. And I'm a decent feature act.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I do? And they're like, you open the show and you do 3 minutes. And then you bring on John. I was like, 3 minutes.
In get my beak wet.
Bro, and I did it in Phoenix at the Celebrity Theater in the Round. We're talking like, you know, a few thousand people. And you got to be like, they're like, you're on, go. And it's like
3 minutes.
So I saw, and I also saw them take turns. I saw Charlie eat fucking shit one night.
Did he realize it?
I mean, there's no way he didn't realize it. But he actually had the thing where it's tough, where he didn't like sulk and go like, I fucking suck.
Like,
maybe
better.
He felt like that,
yeah.
But he would come back the next day. So I actually saw him have a really bad set, a really good set, like a really good set, and then like a pretty decent set. I saw in those 3 shows. And he ended up taking me out to dinner. I almost didn't, like, I think I told the story, but I almost, so I met Joe and he was very nice, but it was just like very brief. And then in Phoenix was the last show of my 3-show run. And I remember I was backstage and UFC fights were on, but so was like LSU Auburn. Mm-hmm. And I choose that.
LSU Auburn.
Yeah. And I'm watching that. And like his buddies were there and they're like, you know, there's like fights on. I was like, who gives a shit? Like, and they were like, you know that you're here with like a UFC commentator, right?
The UFC commentator.
And I was like, yeah, but like LSU's number 3 right now. They're like, what? Like all these guys were like,
they have no clue.
They had no clue. And like, I would leave the room and fights would be on, and then I would come back in and football would be on, and they were like, God damn it, with the fucking
come
football.
Come on, dude.
Yeah. And so
were you living in California at the time?
Yeah, I was living here. And this was like I said, this was like this crazy contest.
This is a while ago.
This is 2007.
Okay.
So in 2007, I'm doing these shows. So the Phoenix show was the biggest show and the last show of the run, and it was my best 3-minute set.
3 minutes.
But I got like
3 minutes.
I know, it's so quick. I got a couple like big laughs. And then, you know, I introduce John and the show goes on. So after the show, I'm hanging out backstage and I'm talking. Charlie's like, chat me up a little bit. He's like, you want to go to dinner? And I was like, and by the way, it's 2007. This is like the height
of
like Chappelle's show fame and all this stuff.
He's so famous.
And he's so famous. And I'm a huge fan. So I'm like playing it cool. I was like, yeah, let's go to dinner, man.
I'll check the schedule.
Yeah, let's see what's going on. What kind of food you feel like eating right now, man. So
what are you into, Doug?
He was like, let's go get some sushi. You know anything about sushi, dog? I was like, yeah. So.
Yeah, I fucked with sushi.
He's like, all right, bet. Let's go eat sushi. He walks down this hallway with Rich Murphy, who would travel, like his guy. And they like start, I see them walking down the hall. I start walking down the hall and they're, you know, 20 yards ahead of me. And then Joe stops me and he's like, hey man. And he's doing like real nice to like the younger comic thing. He's like, dude, you know, you're like, this real, it's really funny.
That's so cool.
And I was like, thanks, man. And he keeps like, where are you from?
And were you familiar with Rogan before then?
I knew.
Like Fear Factor?
Oh, I knew him from that. And I knew that he was a comedian. And yeah. I wasn't a store guy, but I had seen Joe. I had been to the store like to do invited spots,
yeah.
You know, like outside spots. And I'd seen him in the OR, but just for like a few minutes. you know? And then
you
I'd see him in the parking lot talking, but I was like off to the side, you know? So, he's chatting me up and he's like, you know, you're really funny. You know, we should do a gig together sometime. And people, I had heard that because I'd been working as a middle in like the Funny Bones and improvs. And sometimes, I mean, I remember one time Tommy Davidson was like, you know, do you want to tour together? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, it could be like the Tommy and Tom tour. And I was like, awesome.
Tommy Squared, dog. What
he
was, because
he liked me and we got along well and like the shows went well. And then I like followed up. I was like, I talked to his agent. I was like, he wants to do this tour. And they were like, okay. And they called me back and they're like, he has no idea what you're talking about. I was like,
was he high or what?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I think I should say.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah. And I was like, I thought we were doing the T Squared show, man. What's up?
T Squared, dog.
So Joe's like, we should do that. And by the way, the whole time that he's doing this, he's like, we should do this. I'm like looking at the door like, I'm doing a sushi with Charlie Murphy.
Doubt, dog. Yeah. You get sushi
and I'm like doing this thing where like, as Joe's talking, you know, when you're like,
no doubt. Dude, call my agent. That'd be fun. That sounds
like,
fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
and I kept like turning and he was like, settling into the conversation. He was like, so you're from Cincinnati? And I was like, yeah, man.
You're like, yeah, Cincinnati, the big C. Hey,
Charlie and I are about
did Charlie go that way?
Yeah. And he's like, let me get your number. And I was like, oh, okay. And I give him my number. He's like, yeah, we'll do it. And I was like, okay, great. And I just like, when I go outside, I can see the brake lights turning. They're turning the car and I'm running. My fattest running through the parking lot. Yeah. I was like, and Rich, I know Rich didn't want me to come to dinner.
Dude, man, fuck that white boy. Let's get going.
And I got there, and Rich was like, yeah, he made it.
Damn, fuck, man.
So I get in there, and we got to dinner. And I have such vivid memories of that dinner because Charlie has such a funny like way of thinking and speaking. I've told this before, but when Charlie was first going to do Rogan, and I found out, I texted, I was like, make sure you ask him. And you can watch it in the episode. I go, make sure you ask him about Johnny Gill saying that he can beat Oscar De La Hoya in a fight. Because that's what he told me at dinner that night. And I laughed so fucking hard. Because the way that he brought it up, he was like, do you think Oscar De La Hoya could whoop your ass? And I was like, yeah. I was like, what are you talking about?
Of course.
And he was like,
that's Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, he was like, he could fuck you up. I was like, for sure. And he was like, yeah, right? And I was like, dude, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you wouldn't even know what happened. It would be so fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, the speed is what would stand out. You'd be like, I remember something started.
Also, I can't box.
Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, you know Johnny Gill? And I was like, the singer? And he's like, yeah. He goes, he thinks he can whip Oscar De La Hoya's ass. I was like, what? And he told me this story about how they're at a party and Johnny Gill was like, I could fuck him up. And they're like, no, you can't. And like this whole argument.
Like legit debate.
Legit. And Johnny Gill's like swearing to God that he can. So I was like, Joe, you have to ask him this. And he did. He asked him about it. And he was like, how you know that? So that night, you know, that night, the funny thing is I go to dinner with Charlie and Rich and then we go back to the hotel and like Charlie and I really got along, you know, we really clicked. We had good rapport. We laughed a lot. And so I go, well, this is it for me, man. And he goes, no, it's not. Like, he's like shaking my hand. And I go, what? He goes, I'm in charge. Like, this ain't it. He's like, give me, he goes, Rich. I still remember like, he goes, pull out the bat phone. So
the bat phone.
Yeah. It was a flip phone. It was like, it was their burner or whatever, you know? And he's like, he goes, what's your number? And I see Rich, like, I'm go, it's 3-2. I see him go like,
faking the number.
Yeah. And I was like, and I know he's not putting
I've been like, your boy, Rich, he's not putting in the right number, man.
Yeah, he's not. Did you get that?
You know what? Give me your number. Fuck Rich.
So I see him do that because Rich could not. He just didn't
like you.
He didn't like me, man. And it's one of those things where, and I put it together in real time in the moment. I was like,
never
okay.
Heard from him.
Yeah. Every time I said something, Rich would be like, you know.
So you never heard from.
That was it. I never heard from him again.
Dang.
2-3 weeks later, I get a phone call that I don't recognize, and it's Joe. And he goes, hey, what are you doing next week or the week after? I was like, nothing. He goes, you want to go to Tampa? And I was like, yeah, what's Tampa? He goes, we'll do some shows, and you like the UFC? And I was like, I mean, kind of. I didn't.
It's cool.
I was like, I like college football.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, we'll go to the fights the next day, and, you know, is that cool? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
and
down,
then,
man.
You know, I remember I was like, yeah, I'm going to Tampa.
And then how long did you feature for Joe?
He would, you know, he always, like, at that time, it was like a circle of guys, right? It was, so I started to do it, Ari was already doing it. Diaz would do it. But he would bring me like, I don't know, at that time, I feel like a couple times every few months.
And did he pay, he paid well even back then?
Yeah, I mean, it always like matched whatever level with what he was doing, you know? Yep. So like in the clubs, it was like, it was more than the clubs paid you, which I took that when I started selling tickets in clubs, if you came to open for me, I'd be like, I'll pay you double. Like I'll match what the club pays you, you know?
Yeah.
So that like the feature act actually makes a living, you know?
Yeah. Like I'll call Rogan and be like, hey man, this, I pay Chappelle this much and David this much. I'm like, that's cool. You know, I pay my guys. And they tell me, I'm like, no, I know. But we're not talking about you, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And you also, you're doing it with Chappelle, so
yeah.
We're not on the same.
No, definitely not the same.
Yeah. I'm like, it's all right, man. I'm like, I feel like it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not.
The amount, I think it always is, depends on like what you're getting, right? So
that's what
so
I tell those guys. Yeah. I'll be open with them, too. I'm like, hey, we sold out this weekend. It was whatever. We added shows, so.
Yeah,
you guys to see that in your paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. Which is awesome. Yeah. It's cool to do.
But the clubs, it's like, dude, and they're still doing that to this day.
They're doing this.
$50.
I brought this up on Twitter one time, and I got like shit from people.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I go, I think it's time for the clubs to just change the default rates, only because these have been the rates for 35 years.
How's it not change?
They just have gotten away with that. And all I did was go like, you want these future headliners to be able to make a living
doing,
I'm not
craft.
Even talking about getting like rich, just like
just to get by, dude. You, no one can get by on a features pay
$100 a show, and they don't take care of your airfare. So correct. If you have to get on a plane to feature somewhere, you're netting like $100 for the week. Like,
it's nuts.
So, but then people are like, why don't you start a comedy? Like, I was like, okay, you know, fucking... yeah, I was like, I think it's like worth discussing, you know, but whatever, they just don't.
So when in Austin, because you're one of the guys, I just found this crazy. Like I told you, you're my North Star. When I met with my team, and like, all right, who do you want to be, you know, in like 5 to 10 years? I'm like, Segura. Segura's my North Star.
Wow.
Yeah. You're my
like,
guy.
I want to break my left arm. I want to tear my patellar tendon.
Yeah. No, but you are. And so, you know, when you look at things, like you were never a guy, like you weren't at the Comedy Store like Rogan or no. Joey and those guys. Bert
Comedy
was
Store
either.
Didn't invite me to do spots and like where they said like you can.
Until when?
2016.
Jesus Christ, that's well, right when I popped up.
Here's what it happened. Like I showcased, one, like first of all, I was already in at the improvs, like working them.
Yes.
And they were great to me and I still work improvs and that was just the place that was. And at the time, when I would stop in the store for something, I was like, I don't even want to be here. Like it didn't seem desirable to me at that like 05, 06, 07. Like I would go there and I'd be like, eh. And eventually it's, you know, whatever, talking to them, they're like, you should try to be at the store. And this is before the turnaround where it's like became this amazing place. Yeah. So I showcased in 09. I don't get past. And I was like, all right. So the next year I'm working. I'm like always on the road, you know? And I'm working, and when I, in town, I'm doing Melrose. That's what I'm just, that's my spot.
But you're headlining on tour.
On tour, I'm headlining. Yeah.
In
that
town,
time,
just doing spots.
I'm just doing spots. 2010, I shoot a half hour, Comedy Central half hour special.
Shot the half hours.
Shot the half hour in October of 2010. In January of 2011, it comes out. So a few months later, you know, Comedy Central sends me like a couple DVDs of it. I go to the store one night and I go, hey, you know, I want to try to work here. And then Tommy is the guy running the place. So I have a DVD and I go, he goes, I know who you are. And I go, oh, can I like showcase or whatever? He's like, yeah. He's like, tonight's open mic. You can do the open mic.
In the OR?
In the OR. And I go, okay. Like I'm not too good for it. And he goes, I'll tell you what, I'll give you, most people do 3 minutes. I'll give you 9 minutes. Cause you're, I was like, that's cool.
Hell yeah.
So I do my set and like it, you know, for an open mic set, it goes pretty well.
I'm sure those open mics can be a nightmare.
Yeah. And like, I'm out up there with fucking lunatics in the room, you know?
You're a guy who's making a living.
Yeah.
Doing this.
I'm like, I bring your regulars on the road.
Yeah.
So I get off stage and he goes, you did 11. And I was like, what? He goes, I gave you a 9, but you did 11. I'm like, who cares?
Did you not hear him laughing, bitch?
All I want to know is, can I start calling in?
Yeah.
And he was like, just keep coming to this. I was like, you want me to keep coming?
To the open mic?
And he was like, yeah, man. Like, this is an artist commune.
Wow.
He gave me that whole thing. And I was like, I'll see you I see you. So, and I honestly wasn't, like, it sounds like I'm...
Bitter?
I was not.
No, you don't sound bitter.
I was like, I was so busy with like just trying to grind and make a living.
Yeah, that wasn't your end all be all.
It was just
for a lot of guys it is.
Yeah, I just accepted it. And I was like, look, I'm not even going to be in LA but 3 days yep. in the next 2 months because all I do is tour. So I just keep, you know, I would get invited to do shows there sometimes and I would do them. And then it's like 2013, 2014. And people would ask me, they're like, how come I never see you at the store? I'm like, because I don't go there. And then one day I was up there. I was up in the belly room and I had done, I think, a set and I'm watching this and it was hopping, man. It was like the whole store was, every yeah. room was on fire, but up in the belly room, it's like, it's
the best.
It's so rad.
The best.
So it's like 85 people and it's just pandemonium. And I'm standing up there with a couple people and Al Madrigal standing next to me. He's like, I go, this is fucking crazy, man. He goes, yeah, dude, it's like this, like every night now. And I go, that's awesome. He's like, how come you're not here all the time? And I'm like, I don't work here. And he was like, what? And I go, I don't work here. Like I showcased, I don't know, fucking 7 years ago.
They didn't pass you.
And then he was like, hold on a second.
Yeah, I'll get you passed.
He's walked, I see him like talking to Adam and Adam comes over. He's like, yeah, you can just call whenever you want. I was like, is that it? He was like, yeah. I was like, okay.
But even then, even after you got passed, you weren't like a guy there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
No.
You and Bert never were. And
no.
Because, you know, obviously, Rogan and Callan took me under the wing. And even Callan wasn't that guy when I first met him. He started to be. But then Rogan was like, I'm like, God, you're here every fucking night, dog, doing our set.
Everybody has their own. Like, here's the thing, though. If you really look at, like, a calendar, and you go like, how much stand-up is each person doing? If you were taking me, let's say at that year, 2016, you could look at a month and be like, so Tom did 27 hours of stand-up.
Correct.
Right? Because I would be like doing clubs and then theaters. And then some weeks I'm doing like 8-9 shows. And, you know, I would get to LA and on, you know, if I had back-to-back weeks like that, I'd be like, yeah, I'm all good.
I'm good.
And I'm also writing on the road. Like yeah.
You build your hour on the road.
On the road. So. Yeah. When I get in town, it's not like I don't need the reps. I do, but I'm just not like, I'm going to be on
there. You're getting them elsewhere. Yeah, and that's where I do get competitive a little bit. I'll go to my agent, you know, at CA, and I'll say, hey, show me who's done more dates than me. And it's very rare people do more dates than me.
Well, yeah.
As far as time on stage.
Yeah, you're a psycho like that.
Top three.
Because you're doing, like we do, like tons of podcasts, get on the road, working, and then you're still fucking benching 425. And
For no reason at all. Yeah.
You just took to that. Like, I feel like I saw a little while ago, you pop into Bradley Martin's place, the Zoo Culture.
And, you know, I live close to here. And during the pandemic, obviously everything shut down. I was just riding my bike every day.
Yeah.
It was just that thick boy bike club I started.
Yeah.
I got all these fat dudes DMing me in spandex and shit. And I'm like, I gotta do something, man. Yeah. This ain't cool.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't in great shape, even though I was riding like 40 miles a day doing all this stuff. Got sponsored by Specialized, like started up this brand. And then I was like, man, I need to get back into the goddamn gym. And then again, my son, because he, you know, I'm sure your son's saying, well, looks at you like a goddamn superhero.
Yeah.
And then he's like, daddy, you don't, he's like, he saw a picture of me fighting. He's like, what, you're not as big anymore? I'm like, I'm a different big, and like joke around, but he's not having it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, I gotta get in shape for the kids. Because they're beasts.
And
like,
it motivates.
I know everyone says this, but my kids are fucking monsters.
I believe it.
Like, they're big kids.
You have
like,
they have your genetics, so I believe
and my,
it.
And my girl's a beast, too.
She's really?
Like, yeah. My mother-in-law's, you know, they're monsters.
They're so monsters.
They're genetically
you know, by
freaks.
The way, you started by saying that you don't lie to your son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Do
so,
you?
Oh, yeah. So, last week or 2 weeks ago, I drove a Circuit of the Americas in Austin, COTA, like the F1 track.
Oh, sick.
And I took my GT4 on it. And I was, you know, and they sent me, I didn't even know they did this. They did a couple like short videos. So they sent it to me. So I was watching it at home and my older kid, he's like, is that you?
How old is he now?
He's five.
Yeah. Yeah. They know
he's
what's
like,
up.
Yeah. He's like, that's you? I go, that's your car. I go, yeah, that's me. He's like, did you race? And I go, yeah. And he goes, did you win? And I go, yeah.
Hell yeah, I won.
He's like, you won?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and he's like, they give you a trophy. I was like, nah, they didn't have any trophies
today. Not for this, man. They're
fresh
out. I go,
but I fucking smoked everybody. Yeah. And he was like, yeah.
My kid with, you know, I have that GT2 RS.
Yeah, don't flex on me. Like, no, I'm not.
You have cars too, though. You have big cars too.
That was
you're a car guy.
You just shitted on me, man.
No, it's not a flex. That GT4 is dope.
It's dope. You had a GT2 RS that you had modified.
Modified.
Which is the most unnecessary modification.
Yeah. Rogan goes, what are you doing? You're fucking this thing up. I go, zip it, dude. So, yeah, let me live my fucking life. Yeah, so I have problems. So I get that GT2 RS, and then, yeah, I modify it. So it's at like 970-something horsepower. It's a monster.
Is it here?
No, I brought the Defender today. Have you seen that?
No.
It's dope.
All right, let's check it out. Yeah.
So, but, you know, as far as LA goes, probably the fast car in LA. So it's whenever my son sees like a Lamborghini or something, he'll go, Dad, is your car faster than that? And I never lied to him. I go, yep. And then out of all the fucking cars, a Bugatti
just pulls up.
And he goes, Dad, what's that? I go, that's a Bugatti, dude. Those are like $1 million. He goes, he doesn't understand money. He goes, $1 million, is that a lot of money? I go, it's all the money. Yeah. But it's all the money for a car.
And he goes, everyone's money piled together.
Yeah, I'm like, that's everybody's money. And he goes, that faster in your car? I go, I think it is. He goes, no way. I think it is.
And then he's like, do you think you could beat that guy up? You're like, I'll fucking kill that guy.
You think he has a black belt? Yeah. No, dude. Uh-uh. I'll fucking destroy that guy.
I love that you told him you could kick everybody's ass.
Yeah. And they're going to hear this now? And I gotta go back in there on Thursday? Yeah.
They're going to be like, really? All of us, huh?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Everybody, I said it, dude.
You see people just starting to go around you, and you're like, what's going on?
That, see, but do you have this problem? Like is your son into sports, again into sports?
Yeah. A little bit, right? A little bit, yeah.
Like, my son played soccer, and it's like wrangling cats, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he's fat. My big boy.
He's chunky?
No, he's fast.
Oh, he's
super fast.
Oh,
like, God, he's lanky. Like, no, he's super lean, and he wakes up and runs to our room.
Yep.
Like, hauls ass Hell into the room, and then he calls me Tom.
Really?
Yeah.
He's
like,
hilarious.
He's like, hey, Mom. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Like, yo, come on, dude. It's Dad around here, bro.
I'm like, come on, dude. And he's like, you having a good day, Tom? And I'm like, yeah. Cool. Who's your real dad?
Yeah. They'll say some crazy shit. Like, my son always go, it's hard being real, Dad. I'm like, I don't know. Who the fuck did you get that from? He's like, it's hard being real.
Being real.
It'd be hard being
I'm
real.
Just trying to be real with you right
yeah,
now,
I'm
Dad.
Yeah, I'm just being real, Dad. You fucking fraud, dog. No, but he... you're a fraud, dog. No, but he... Yeah, like when he's doing jiu-jitsu, like, you know, if he gets into podcast stand-up jiu-jitsu, yeah, that's my shit, man. I'll coach him up on it. So when he's doing it, I'll see stuff and I'll take him to the side and, like, I don't want to be that overbearing, like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
But it's also like, you're skipping steps, dude. Like, I don't want to tell the coach, but I'm like, so when he goes for water, I'm like, here's a squirt of water. You don't need all the water.
Yeah.
Let me show you like how you should be getting here.
Yeah.
Like, he's showing you A to D. You're missing B and C, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
This is B and C.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Do you get any, like,
kind of feel a little bit, but they, I think they have respect. They know who I am. You know, they have some respect.
So they know you're not just like a crazy dad who thinks he knows how to fight.
Yeah, he's like showing some fucking world star videos.
I think I said there's four things that a lot of dudes inherently think that they're good at.
And we've done all of them.
Well, it's fighting.
Being funny. Yeah,
fighting's funny. Fucking and driving.
Correct.
Men think they're inherently good drivers a lot.
Yep.
They think that they're funny.
Yeah.
Or they're threatened by you if they think you are.
Yep.
Dudes, a lot is natural. Like, I could fight.
Yeah.
And they're like, you.
I can't tell you how many times I've been at Zoo Culture and I've had like YouTubers come up to me and be like, dude, I think I beat up Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no doubt, dude. Do that. Yeah. Go do that.
Yeah.
Go do that, though.
Yeah.
But go do that.
Yeah. Well, people don't understand what the difference between a trained fighter and like somebody who's just athletic and can throw a haymaker.
There's that, but in same thing with comedy too. It's like, you're funny at the family barbecue, but to put a set together to relate to a crowd that doesn't know who you are is a different animal.
That's just totally, because people ask me that too. Like, a lot of times guys will be like, I'm funny as shit. They always boast about, they're like, funny as fuck, man.
Have you ever said that in your life? I've never said that.
No, never. And I also, like, I'll never argue against someone who doesn't find me funny either. Like, when someone's like, I don't find
it's
you
like
funny
music.
At all, I'm like, great.
Well, you see it all the time. Like, obviously the biggest guy in the world's going to get all of it. But anytime you have success, people are going to come out like, oh, that guy's not funny.
Yeah.
Like with Kevin Hart, he's not funny. Oh, he's not?
Yeah.
Well, weird. He's the biggest selling comic of all time.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
year after year. But
someone
he
thinks he's funny.
Sucks.
Yeah, he sucks, man. Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you just have to kind of.
Yeah. You're not funny. Weird. My bank account begs a different.
Yeah. It's a, you just got to, you have to go, well, I'll play to the people who think I am.
I don't see any of it. Do you, are you a social media guy? Like you know how like Rogan say, I don't see it. When I say I don't see it, yeah. I don't see anything.
That's good.
I post and I get the fuck out.
That's the way to do it.
Nothing.
It's hard to, did you ever find, see, like looking at it, hard to resist? Because I feel like it's a natural thing that's hard to resist.
When I first got on, years ago, because, I didn't, it's, I think we all did. We got on there and I'd post and you'd read how it go. And then once I realized like all these opinions, I'm like, oh, this isn't healthy. And I found myself like, my kid would be swimming and I'd be like on Instagram staring at other people's shitty lives or where the fuck they're doing. I'm like, this isn't good. What am I doing, dude?
Yeah.
So it was my kid. I was like, oh, this is just a waste of time. And that, like, I've never gotten advice on there. I'm like, oh, that's great advice, dude. I'm going to use that in my set. Thank you.
Never.
That improves my life. Never. Thank you. Never. So I'm like, why am I giving so much attention? So I just got out of it.
It's
literally got out.
The probably one of the healthiest things you can do.
Oh, for your mental health. Oh, dude.
Without a doubt, man. I notice sometimes I'll get busy enough that I'm not looking or posting it. And all of a sudden I'll be like, oh my God, like 4 days have gone by and I didn't post it. And I'm like, it felt good. It felt good.
Like if someone talks shit about me, like, my brother, one of my boys, like, oh, you see this guy talk shit about you? I'm like,
no.
Don't even tell me what he said.
Yeah, and don't show me his account. No, I don't want to know. Care.
Yeah, it's not going to affect me.
I don't need to know.
Because whoever's doing it, they just want attention.
Of course.
I'm not here for it.
Well, these guys, the guy, I repeatedly hear the thing, the guy will go, I'm really funny. I can make, my friends laugh. Like, he goes, what's the difference between me being funny and being a comedian? I'm like, well, the difference is, you're being funny to like someone you're talking to and being funny to an audience. Like, you have to communicate it to a large
that don't know who you are, that get the references, it's a whole.
Yeah. It's like, and then I can't believe that person asking it doesn't put that together. Then they're like, oh yeah, I never thought of that.
It's like,
you never thought of the most obvious thing.
By you asking this shows me that you're never going to make it.
Yeah, well.
Like, even by asking.
You haven't even started. Or
it's like,
the other one that I've heard dozens, I can't believe how many times I've heard this. Somebody goes like, I have like fucking 45 minutes of material, but I've never done it. I'm like, and you have 45? And they're like, I just got like pages of shit. And they're like, and it's good. And I'm like, well, then you're set.
Yeah, dude. It sounds like go on the road, dude.
He's like, what should I do? I'm like, just get on stage.
Get on
like,
stage. Do that hot 45 on stage. I mean, I go
start
Doug.
Open with it. Just do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, what do I need to do? I'm like, just find an open mic.
Yep.
Invite everybody. Have people come out and see you. That's probably really good your first time.
So is your plan when you get to Austin, are you going to be, again, because you weren't like popping up at the store or the improv or factory here. There, you're same shit. Build the hour on the road.
So
I
have
your podcast.
Yeah, I have an hour and I have done some spots in Austin, and like this week I'm in LA. I've done three. I'm going to end up doing four spots this week here. Just like,
we're doing like Jam in the Van.
I'm doing, what's it called? I did Supernova a couple times. Best show.
It's great.
Best show in LA. I think right now I'm doing The Store tonight. I'm doing Supernova again tomorrow. Dope. So it's a, like doing those spots, and then there's more shows popping up in Austin, so I'll keep doing those, but I'm flying back here a number of times, and then, I've been on the road, so I'll keep doing the road, and then my tour starts in August, so just
big boy tour.
Yeah, it's a long tour.
Yeah, I just with Austin, it's gonna get there, and Rogan's gonna open up a place and stuff like that. You guys are out of your mind if things would be better in LA.
I don't think that, I never really thought of it as like, it's going to be better.
Oh, I do.
Really?
Well, because we hear it all the time. Austin this, Austin that. I'm like, don't get me wrong. I'm more of a San Antonio guy. I love San Antonio if I was going to move.
Yeah.
And I even talked to you about this, like in the height of the pandemic and everybody's leaving frantic and, LA's North Korea and blah, 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 and it's locked down here. I started looking at property out there and I'm like, man, I just can't.
Yeah,
I'm just not ready. And like, by you going, like, you and Joe could move to Iraq and be fine. You know what I'm saying? But these other guys fall. I'm like, bro, you guys didn't even make it in LA. You make it out there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can get up 8 times here, dude.
Yeah.
And go on 9 different major podcasts. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're just going to bank on Segura and Rogan? That ain't the move.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like in the short time that I've been there, I've met like some great local people, like
great
comics,
people in Texas,
but also like great people. But like I've met local comics and then people that have moved there like recently. I do think we'll see a few more people move and maybe some like established people move there. And then like, you know, the scene becomes what, like what
it'd
it
be
is.
Good. Yeah, yeah. It, but it's good for everybody. If it becomes a another hub,
it'd be great. Yeah. I mean, you know, ultimately like if Austin becomes like a really great comedy scene, it's good for comedy. It's not great like it become, it's no. not like it's bad for LA or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. I don't look
know?
At any, it's not a competition.
No.
Yeah.
No, no. But I mean, yeah, of course I like, you want to know something hilarious? I was walking down the street and paparazzi was everywhere.
In Austin?
No, no, here.
Oh, here.
Here. And this guy goes, Tom. And I was like, what's up, man? And he's like, I thought you moved to Austin. And I was like, I did. I got on an airplane.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. I got on a plane.
And then he was like, all right. And I just kind of gave him like the horns. And then I turned this way.
Full Texas.
And then they fucking, I turned the corner and they ran and they surrounded me. Right. And I was like, is this a bit?
Yeah.
And then
I'm punk.
Yeah. And then they just start asking about the comedy scene. And they're like, is Austin now better than LA? And
oh,
I was
God.
Like, are you guys for real?
Yeah.
And I start answering their questions about the comedy scene. I was like, I think
LA. Kind of like political about it. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, everything's
like both
cool.
spots are fun.
Yeah.
Man.
I was, everything's fun. And they start asking me about Biden and Putin. I was like, what?
Like, what? You'll go down a weird road,
yeah.
dude.
And then it kind of ended. And I was like, all right, thanks guys. And then it hit me. I was like, hey, why the fuck are you out here? Like, why are you talking to me right now? You didn't come here for me. And they're like, nah, Lil Pump's next door.
I was nah, like, man, Lil Pump
I was like,
right there,
all you guys are here for Lil Pump? And they were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause he's man. Shopping here right now. And I was like, okay. And then they're like, would you work with him? I was like, with Lil Pump? And they're like, yeah. I was like, yeah, let's do a song.
Yeah, what do you want to do, man?
Tell him to hit me up.
Yeah.
But
you're not going to get that in Austin, dude.
But hearing paparazzi ask you about the comedy scene, I was like, this is
it's getting
hilarious.
Out of control. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to pit, you know, LA against
yeah,
Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
Both are
looking
good.
For like an inflammatory headline or something.
Yeah,
fuck
like,
LA.
Like Tom shits on LA.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
weird to me. And like, you know, Rogan to do it pretty frequently, like shitting on LA. It's like, dude,
yeah.
you were here fucking 40 years, man.
Yeah,
LA
yeah,
was
yeah.
pretty good to you, man.
No, LA
you
was, know? Yeah, LA yeah. was great.
LA's great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm back here so often that I forget that I don't live here. I'm literally here next week. I fly home, then I come back here, and then I'm here 2 weeks in July.
But you're just doing that until your podcast is built out there.
Yeah, the studio, I mean, it's like when you build a house. Like, I got this
People
thing
have no
started.
Idea. The permits.
I got started
everything.
Like fucking 9 months ago. And
I got
I'm
started
like,
a year ago, dude.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, maybe... In August, I was like, okay.
But it's even harder here in LA because the COVID, because the government's just, you know, they're like, permit for what?
Yeah.
We'll get to it, bitch. We're trying to figure out these stipends.
You do you know about tour protection insurance?
What do you mean?
I just learned about this.
What do you mean?
So you can have like, I have a tour coming up. I can sign up for an insurance that if like I get sick or something happens, I can get paid on those shows.
What?
Yes.
Probably a fraction, all right? Like 50%.
There's a deductible and you know, you pay, but you can get, so this is what happened though. Now, this is how insurance companies work. Now that the pandemic happened, they carved out the if there's another variant
worldwide.
Or something, they're like, that doesn't count.
Oh, fuck off.
But what happened was last year, there was like major acts with this insurance and they all got-
They got paid.
They got
That's
paid.
Why.
They paid out $8 billion.
Damn.
Yeah.
What a bunch of smart motherfuckers.
Yeah, but then how about you going like, yeah, I want that insurance. They're like, yeah, but if that shit happens though.
That we ain't doing that again.
Yeah, not
we
that.
We're talking about you break your leg.
It's like, same thing happened in Florida with hurricane insurance. Everybody would have it. Then they started to pay out for these crazy hurricanes. And then they started to reduce the amount of coverage you get for certain things. Then like, you know, mold became an issue because everything with water eventually leads to mold. And they're like, you know, used to get like full protection. Now they're like, you get mold coverage up to $10,000.
That's fucked
And you're
up.
Like, well, what if there's $100,000 in mold? And I'm like, sorry.
Did you sign up for health insurance once you had kids? Like, oh, I'm sorry, life insurance?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a dicey one.
Yeah, that's morbid when they're like, and then when you die, this person will
Yeah,
get
they're
this,
like, who do you like, want to? And you're like, oh,
yeah,
man, I don't know. And they're like, but they go through everything. Because
yeah.
I tried lying. They're like, you drink? I'm like, never. They're like, you do nicotine? I'm like, no, clean living here, man. And then they take your blood, they do everything. And then in my house, I have like a whiskey wall because I'm like a whiskey fiend.
Yeah.
She's like, what's that? I'm like, special occasion.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's. But then when they do your blood, they're like, bitch, they're like, lied.
You have nicotine?
You fucking lied. You have nicotine.
Fresh as Marlboro in your system, man.
Yeah, the nicotine fucked me. The whiskey. Then riding bikes really fucked me. Like my premium's insane, dude.
Is it really?
Insane.
Then they're like, who do you want to get money? And you're like,
I know you got to go through it.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
I didn't even tell my girl how much they gave me.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, it's all taken care of. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got asked to, and Christina was like, well, you're leaving it all to me. I wouldn't say all.
Let's not get crazy.
I'd say you get a check, you can pay your fucking phone bill.
It is dark. It is dark, though, man.
Yeah, it is dark.
Yeah. You can pay your phone bill, but you're going to have cricket now.
Yeah, you're on that cricket plan.
You're on that cricket, girl.
You know what a ladybug is? They kind of flip, but they just have the numbers on them.
You get that cricket. I got you, girl.
Yeah. It is so morbid when they're like, and then if you die at this.
It's dark.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
And then they're like, well, you're clinically obese.
Yeah.
I took my shirt off. This old lady, I'm like, am I, bitch? Am I?
And
she's like,
they don't
your body mass index. I'm like, but you don't take into account
look at
my
me.
Height, my weight. I'm like, look at this.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I know you're obese. I'm like, man, fuck. And so my premium's nuts.
I think I if I get down to like 185, I'm still obese.
It's she was like, is there, you know, we could come back and do this and we can lose 50 pounds.
50?
50. She's like, you'd hit this threshold if you'd lose 50.
That's such an outdated measurement. The BMI is so...
It's nuts.
It's crazy.
Nuts.
Yeah, how tall are you?
6'4".
6'4".
6'4", 250. I was 18% body fat.
And they're like, you should be 200.
Yeah. It's like, you're out of your mind?
That's so crazy.
It's like Dallas Buyers Club.
You would need life insurance because you're about to die.
Yeah. Are you trying to kill me?
Yeah. Holy fuck, dude.
But when they take your blood, you know, my business manager goes... Oh, you know, it didn't go well, we'll be honest with you. So you're clinically obese, and then the whiskey and then the nicotine, that's on your system. And that, you know, and then did you like work out that day? I'm like, yeah, I worked out right before she got there. I rode my bike 40 miles and then I drank coffee. Like, yeah, your blood pressure was high. So she had to come back out
and do another.
And she knew I lied. So she's like, you want to try this again?
Oh.
I'm like, give me that fucking pamphlet, bitch.
And then.
Now I gave him the real deal and I look like, you know, a fucking rock star.
Sure.
Nicotine, drink,
smoke,
fucking cocaine every now and then. Just kidding.
Why not? You can't
whores
do the coke.
On the road.
Whores,
just
fucking whores.
Whores. Spotted dick, check.
I wonder if you could be like, do whores count? And they're like, what?
I'm like, are whores a problem?
Yeah.
She's like, excuse me? Yeah. I'm like, there's one here. It says anything else. Should I put whores? How much do you want for
this? Because a whore could kill me.
Yeah, a whore. They're pretty wild, man.
I'm not just talking about catching something. I mean, like, whores get angry and then...
I can get exact names if you want. I'll call them. They're under my phone as Miami. But
so many hoes in Miami.
So many hoes.
If you can't get laid in Miami.
Bro, I was in Florida more than I wanted to be during this pandemic because they were the only place open. So Miami, Texas. I did Naples, Palm Beach, fucking Miami Improv, Fort Lauderdale. I was all over Miami.
Yeah. Florida don't give a fuck.
Dude, they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, they didn't
man.
Shut anything down, really.
But just everyone out there has an ass. Everyone's out there just...
It's crazy.
I mean, just fall into fine bitches.
I know. And it's like that culture...
It's like, whoa, I'm not into this.
It's the beat. You're like, ugh, gross.
I'm like, ugh, gross. Get your perfect Colombian ass out of here.
What's up with those
what
heels?
What are you trying to do?
Those poor girls.
It's a curse.
It is. I was just thinking about whores and I lost my train of thought for a second.
Oops. Oopsies.
Yeah.
How long is Bert gone for?
He left in mid or early, like mid April.
God dog.
Yeah. And he's going to come back in about another month.
Jesus Christ. You just have co-hosts.
Yeah. We banked like a bunch. It just wasn't enough. Yeah.
Isn't it obese? Because you're like, you know.
Is he obese? Yeah, he's obese.
No,
sure.
I know he's a beast. But I'm saying like.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
when he called
you and was like, hey, man, you know, obviously it's a big deal. And you're not an asshole. So when he's like, hey, man, they're going to make this feature film on my fucking life.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah, yeah.
The Russian bit. They're doing this movie.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, hell yeah, dude, I'll hold the fort down.
Oh, 100%.
100%. Yeah.
And I told him like we take care, we cover each other. And I was like, look, if you're gone for like 9 months, show's still the show, you know, just come here and.
That's dope.
It's still yours and you'll still get, yeah.
It's just a beast booking co-host, right?
Yeah, of course.
I had to deal with it. Obviously, Callum was out for a hot second. Then
what happened with him?
Is there anything worse? Is anything worse?
It wasn't a movie that he was shooting, right?
Yeah, he was shooting a movie.
Yeah.
in Africa. He's gone for a year and just came back.
Okay, yeah. good.
My dad would do that. You know, my dad, Peyton, has no idea. My dad, when I shot my special, my dad, and this used to be a bit, my dad goes, I shot the special, you know, and he comes out the following week to see my kid. And we're walking, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, how's he not ask about me shooting a fucking special?
Yeah.
He has no clue. And then we're walking, we're getting like Panda Express some shit, and he goes, oh, I meant to ask you, how'd your speech go the other night?
Your speech? Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Fuck you, man. How about that? How about fuck you? But he has no idea. So when my brother got so frustrated, because my brother went to lunch with him and my dad's friend, and his friend goes, your son's doing well. I see him. Like, what's he doing? My dad goes, you know, he's like an influencer. He's like one of those, like, you know, Instagram influencers. My brother's like, oh my God, he's not. That's not what he is.
Yeah.
My dad just has no clue. But my dad.
They're checked.
My dad, we were talking on the phone. And this is like 2 months ago. And he goes, yeah, I see your post. I don't see Brian there. And I go, what? He goes, where's Brian? Did he quit? And I'm like, you have no clue what happened? He goes, no. I go, he's coming back, Dad.
Maybe skip the details.
What happened to Brian? Anyway, tell me about the weather again, Colorado. Yeah, let's go back to that.
It's not as humid today, right?
Yeah. You guys still wearing a mask out there?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing worse.
No, that's pretty bad.
That's bad. Trying to find co-host.
Trying to find co-host is
that was like, tough with finding the kid, man. That
yeah.
Really, really tough.
I bet.
A stressful time in my life.
Really?
Sure. Yeah.
But you ended up making it work because you ended up bringing in other people and like you have like a set crew, right?
Yeah, set crew. Gave Chappelle a big platform and, you know, he's ran with it and he's headlining his own tours now. And
that's awesome.
You know, he's a monster.
That's
so.
What you want, man.
Yeah, it worked out
people
for
that
him.
Like take the opportunity and
100%.
Run.
100%. Then Josh Wolf really helped me out. Joe Coy helped me out.
They did what? They sat in or they?
Yeah, they sat in for multiple episodes. Like,
really?
Guys called me like, hey, anything you need, let us know, man. And they would show up. You know, I'll forever in debt to Josh Wolf.
That's nice.
Because a lot of guys like,
wanted to stay away from your show.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Hurt my feelings.
That's interesting. Why would they want to stay from you though?
I think just because the kind of the overall, like maybe optics of it, you know, maybe they have demons in their closet and just, I don't want to be associated with it.
I think it probably this whole year when like people getting shit for different reasons,
mm-hmm. canceled
and whatever. It makes everybody think of like their own worst thing they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it probably puts them on like,
I think so.
You know,
mm-hmm.
on their heels, like,
yeah. And then I think with that, obviously that stuff happened, the pandemic, people moving. It's like the days of all of us like at the store all at the same time. And those, you know, everyone's having a great time and we're all doing each other's podcasts. Like I was just talking to Tim Dillon about this the other day. We're both in Miami. And I was working for Showtime that Floyd Logan.
I got to ask you about that in a second.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And then he was hosting the cryptocurrency stuff.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Hilarious.
The perfect person to do that.
He's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
You know Tim, right?
Yeah, of
he's
course.
The best.
He's hilarious.
He's blowing up, dude.
Yeah.
He's the best. But I was talking to Tim and we were talking about just the dynamics of like that kind of crew. And he's like, yeah, everyone's on islands now, man. Everyone's on islands. We're all doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Like those days of us all together doing, like everyone's on their own island. You got to take care of your own shit.
You got to. But the cool thing is when we maintain this of like the, you know, like the brotherhood of like.
Oh, dude, any major decision I make, I text you, Bert, Rogan, like.
Yeah. I like that we all stay connected like that. And I have always, you know, I'll get burned out sometimes of comedy, but I don't get burned out of comedians.
No,
meaning like I can be like, I don't need to watch anyone do stand up.
Yeah.
But I love comics. I love
them. The hang.
Yeah, the hang. And I enjoy like those phone calls. You, anybody being like, whether it's talking about business, whether it's talking about joke writing, I enjoy it. I love that thing that has naturally built over these years.
I told you what, you know, you're my North Star, man. So when I was going to start my network, it's, you know, and you know better than
anybody. Yeah, we talked about it.
It's a lot that goes into
it's
it,
a
man.
Lot, yeah.
And you know, everyone's telling me the best things about it. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And I'm like, fucking Tom's done it, dude. I'm gonna call Tom.
Yeah.
And I talk to somebody who's
we talked about the good and the bad and And
it's just a different animal.
It's a different animal, yeah. So I gotta ask you about this. So I watched the Floyd Logan Paul,
mm-hmm.
but you were there.
Oh yeah, I was working.
So, yeah.
I was like the Logan Paul specialist. Cause he's a buddy.
He's a buddy of
he's
yours.
A buddy.
Big athletic kid.
Here's what's crazy about that is I don't think people understand, like, Floyd, also, we know he makes a jagillion dollars and does all this stuff, but that's his thing. So when Floyd does a pay-per-view, obviously Showtime is the cameras and produces it. When I say Floyd has to sign off on everything, and he knows the camera angles, the walkouts, the song, from detailed to detailed, I've never seen anybody so detailed in my life, ever. But through any profession, when I sit in there and, you know, before the fight, we do, you know, the fighter meetings. When you see Floyd go, all right, this camera's gonna be here, this camera's gonna be trimmed, this guy, and then he's walking out 18 minutes after it, and you're just like, holy.
It's on that point.
Oh, for me to work that, he had to okay it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So everything, he signs off on everything.
Every single thing. He's a businessman, like, dude.
That's his shit,
and he wants to make sure.
Even the, like, the report that he gets 50% of pay-per-view on something like that.
Give me $100 million.
It's a lot of fucking money, for that exhibition.
He's a monster, dude.
He's a monster. But so I just asked.
Are you a fan of this stuff? Like Logan, Floyd, like Jake Paul, Woodley?
Well,
like,
I don't think I go into it as a fan.
Do you know them at all, the Pauls?
I don't know them personally in any way. I've known who they are for a number of years, just from, you know, the level of exposure.
They also live close to us because you and I were like neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
They live like a mile from us.
Oh, I had no idea. So I never followed their stuff. I knew that, you know, they would get like a lot of attention, and I would catch wind of that. Then I saw the, I got real excited when I heard that Tyson was going to do the Roy Jones thing.
And, interesting.
You know,
that
because
got
it was
you excited.
Well, because it was Mike Tyson. And like just being like going back, like the nostalgia of being a kid and literally thinking that guy was like Superman, you know, like the baddest man on the planet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? And also seeing that he was training again for it. So I was like, because he looked crazy in his pre.
And what did you think of the fight?
It was terrible.
Terrible.
But I mean,
see,
also,
I got more excited for Logan taking a chance than Mike Tyson coming back.
Well,
when older guys come back, I'm like, what's going on there?
Well,
like, what bad decision
but also
did you make
Roy,
in business? We got to come back.
Roy was not. Didn't look like he trained for it.
Looked pretty soft.
He didn't look great.
No, his life insurance probably pretty high.
Yeah. And it looked, and I was like, but then.
And they also weren't hitting in the face. It was like this weird gentleman's bet, which is whatever.
Whatever.
But then, Logan Paul Floyd, you were like, all right.
Well, then I saw Jake fight the.
Ben Askren.
I didn't see him fight Ben. I saw.
Oh, Nate
Robinson.
Dude.
And I.
Bro.
From the little bit of boxing training that I'd had and going, I was like, it screamed to me, amateur energy of like,
Nate.
Yeah. Cause he would run towards him and I could see that the adrenaline was taking over and he was just trying
he
to
had
be,
no idea what he's doing.
He was trying to be scrappy street fight. Like I'll fucking
not gonna work
and not boxing. Like
not a even, professional,
not a professional. But barely.
Here's
even,
what's interesting. Like I knew he was again, I didn't think you would get fucking highlight reel knocked out. I knew he was gonna lose because I got word going to that fight like, yeah, Nate didn't spar. And I went, what? And my guys are like, yeah, he didn't spar, dude.
Why?
And I'm like, what the fuck? So,
but see, that to me screams I'm a great athlete, and that will translate to everything, which is clearly it does. He is a phenomenal athlete.
Fighting's different.
Fighting
just,
is
they're not the usually especially the top guys like. You know, they're not running 4.4s in the 40. They're not doing that 40-inch vertical, like,
right.
Not even close.
But
different set of skills.
But he's obviously not appreciating that, right? Like, you watch that, and you're like, he thinks...
Which is weird.
...that I can just go into this as a great athlete.
At his level, like, how do no one not whisper in your ear, like, damn, I wish I sparred
just like...
You know, you look terrible, right?
But people were like, you're a bad... Like, you'll beat this person because you're just, like, a better athlete.
But you know who did learn from that was Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah.
So, when I remember I was doing the weigh-ins, I was doing the weigh-in show for that... And Chad Ochocinco, you know, I was like, he's on this card? I'm like, yeah, dude, you get the notes? I'm like, I got him. And they're like, he's fighting this guy from Bare Knuckle. I'm like, oh, that's a two. Why would you match him up with a guy who's been Bare Knuckle?
Yeah.
Like, I'm crazy. I wouldn't fight him Bare Knuckle. Those are guys are fucking savages.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, he lost. I'm like, but still.
Yeah.
When in these amateur fights, usually the toughest guy wins.
Yeah.
The toughest guy, because technique goes out the window. Then when I saw Chad Ochocinco in there throwing feints, like using the footwork, I'm like, oh, he took this serious.
He took it serious.
He took
it
serious.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell everything about Nate in that fight screamed extreme anxiety, apprehension.
Freaked out.
Freaked
Didn't
out.
Didn't want to be in there.
He had crazy energy.
Out. Yeah.
And he was just like trying to like lean in on like, you can't, he was thinking like, it almost seemed like he wanted to just like grab the guy and, you know, it's like, yeah, but you got to box
yeah,
him. Yeah,
it's a world star, dude.
Yeah. Anyways, we all know how that ended. And I was like, well, this was kind of ridiculous.
Still,
you know?
Fun, though.
Fun, yeah. I mean, seeing the memes were great.
Sucks for him, but yeah.
Sucks for him. But Then the Askren thing, I didn't watch the fight. I just I remember the lead up, like that, and that Askren, who I didn't know at all, was kind of hilarious going into this.
He's a great shit talker. Dude, oh, yeah, you don't know, Ben's a great dude.
I didn't know anything about him.
Ben's a great dude, and even, you know, being UFC alumni, I'm gonna root for the UFC guy over the YouTuber.
Yeah.
So I had Ben on my show, and we're talking, and he the thing where I was like, oh, he might be in trouble, is he goes, you know, he's a fucking YouTuber, man. He goes, but if he can box, I'm fucked. And I was like, huh? Why? He's like, because I can't box.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, all right. And then I remember leaving him like, oh, that's weird. And then I was in Miami doing shows. I was on tour at Miami Improv, and I was at this hotel, and Uriah Faber walked in. You know Uriah,
yeah,
Uriah
is, right? Yeah.
And Uriah goes, dude, I heard you, because me and Rogan are debating Ben versus Jake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, but look at Ben's credentials. He's been there with some monsters in this YouTuber. We don't know anything about him. And Rogan was the first one. He's like, dude, but you see the way he hit Nate? Like, that was an accident, dude.
Yeah.
Like, there's something going on there. I was like, yeah, Joe.
And he was like setting up and countering.
Yeah, and his footwork and his feints. And I was like, yeah, maybe. Or just Nate's real shitty. But then I was at the hotel, and Uriah came up to me. He's like, I got to stop you. And we're buddies. We'd have talked anyway. He's like, I got to stop you. I'm like, wait. He's like, dude, you got to take a look more at Jake. And he goes, have you seen his Instagram? I go, no, I don't have social media. I don't look at it. He goes, I'm telling you, you know fighting, watch his sparring. He goes, watch this. And he brings it up. I go, holy, that's Jake? He goes, yeah. And just from his, like, you could be fighting guys that work at Starbucks, but just the way he's moving his feints and then his timing and speed, I was like, I looked at Uriah, I'm like, this kid can fucking fight, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm telling you, man, the kid has skill.
Yeah.
He's like, Ben's fucked. He's like, I don't want to say it out, but I'm telling you, he's gonna be in trouble. So I was like, oh, he might be right. And you see what he did to Ben.
So Ben's when Ben was fighting more,
world champion.
But his skill set was more on the ground. Or just
So it was on the national. So national champion in college, won basically the Heisman of wrestling Division I at Missouri.
So he's a savage wrestler.
Went was on the Olympic team, okay. And then was a world champion at one championship. World champion in Bellator. Came over to UFC. He was like probably 50% when he had a bad hip. He won one fight against Robbie Lawler, then, you know, he got murked by Masvidal.
But never a striker.
A striker, but he fought strikers and was able to figure them out. But obviously, you had grappling.
Yeah,
he couldn't rely on his boxing. But, you know, so once I saw him knock out Ben, I was like, all right, even though Ben's not a striker, I was like, yeah, kick ass talent.
Yeah.
And then when they said, you know, he's fighting Woodley next, it's like, that's a fucking fight, dude.
Yeah.
That's a fight.
Now, what do you think's going to happen with that?
Oh, man. I think, and I've had both of them on the show. So any UFC guy who fights one of these Paul brothers, they've won the lottery. Because you're getting paid the most you ever got paid to fight.
Which is crazy.
Which is nuts.
It's nuts.
And it's a problem. It's like, you know, the UFC's like, you know, features and hosts. Like, how are we still doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. And there's like the 1% who make money. They're like, but look at Connor. Like, no.
Yeah.
But what about these guys? Anyway. Yeah. So for Woodley, like, it's a home run. He's going to make more money than he's ever made. There's a rematch clause if Jake were to lose. It's on Showtime, so that's good for business. My thing with Woodley, and if you guys aren't balls deep in fighting, you know, Woodley's lost his last four fights.
Yeah.
But he's been boxing since, like, 2009 at Wild Card. Like, he's Wild Card trained.
So he's
a Hall of Famer. Like, Woodley can fucking fight,
he can
dude.
Box.
But Woodley has, you know, he's similar to me, like, while he was fighting, he was setting things up outside. Like, you know, he has a music career. He has a fucking, he hosts a show on TMZ. He has his podcast. He has his vlog. Like, he has all this other stuff going on. So it's like, in the UFC, and he even says, he's like, I just wasn't checked in. So that fight comes down if Woodley wants to win or not.
Got
like, if he actually wants to fight, you have a fight in your hands. If he doesn't, Jake does have the capabilities to knock him out in the first round.
Wow.
That's what's crazy.
That is crazy. Cause he really does. I mean, I gotta tell you, when I went to watch the, Logan Paul Mayweather thing,
mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, I want to see what this is, you know? And I came out of it actually going like, I don't know, man. I have to say, I tip my hat to Logan.
That's
like,
where I'm at with it.
Yeah. That I really did. And
I don't see how you can't though. Like, you're a smart dude. So you tip your hat to it, So there's this video.
I know that
I posted on mine, and I went in the back of the locker room with Logan, and I was talking to his dad before the fight, because dad was so, like, I think Logan and Jake, they grew up with cameras in their face.
Mm-hmm.
So this main event and all these people watching, they don't give a fuck.
It doesn't faze them.
It doesn't faze them. So I went in his locker room. they're like, all right, Shab, you're on in 10. It's going to be a live interview. Go back there. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. And in my head, I'm like, God, this is going to be a shit show. They're going to be shit in his pants fighting Floyd Mayweather, the best pound for pound boxer of all time. Like, this kid's never won a fight. He's going to be shit in his pants. So I'm trying to think of things to say to him to calm him down. And I get back there. Dude, they're playing literally yoga music. And he's just like, he's getting ready to go on stage. Like, he didn't give a fuck. And I go, dude, what's wrong with you? He goes, what do you mean? I go, you're not even nervous. He goes, I'd lie to you and say I would on camera, but I feel nothing, dude. Like, I'm just going to go out there and have fun. I'm like, you're fighting Floyd Mayweather, dude. He's like, I know, crazy, right? And I go, dude, it's nuts. And I go, you're not nervous? He goes, no, I've already won, dude. He's like, I've already won. If he knocks me out, I'm a YouTuber. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
He's like, that's what I'm going into the ring with. Then his dad, I see nervous. His dad comes over to me. So I go, this is the advice I can give you. Your son's already won, and you never have to go through this again. He's going to make more money doing this. You guys never have to go through this again. And Floyd's a smaller guy. He's older. So your son's not going to get flatlined like Nate Robinson. Yeah. He might get hurt and stop, but he's going to be okay. You guys aren't going to go to the hospital tonight. He's going to be, trust me, Papa, he's going to be okay. And he's like, thank you so much, man. I'm telling you, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, you're thinking
it's not like he's fighting Francis Ngannou. You know, or like, if he's fighting like fucking...
How fucking great.
If he's fighting Deontay Wilder.
I'll tell you what I would set up. Francis Ngannou or Deontay Wilder against Burt.
I would tell Burt's parents, like, listen, he's going to leave here on a stretcher. It's going to be really bad. Yeah. But he'll recover.
If you can take out a policy where he can get one of those things where his eyes can look at the letters on a board and then the speaker will
listen,
say
he's going to be eating out of a tube for the rest of his life. But it's going to be all good. It's going to be all good. Okay. He's never going to do stand up again. That's all, it's all good.
He's never actually going to stand up.
But he won't have to do this ever again.
Yeah.
Did you say he's never doing stand up again? No, he's never going to be able to stand
up.
Yeah,
He'll never stand up.
Like, he's never going to walk.
He will lay down forever.
But we're here.
Those guys would literally could kill him.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
And Ngannou seems like a nightmare person to fight.
Big dude.
Big fucking guy.
Big dude.
Yeah. Oh my God. And Deontay's punches are
It's
crazy. It's crazy.
It's weird. Deontay was with Showtime forever, and I'd have to interview Deontay Wilder. And he's a passionate dude, and he speaks well, man.
Yeah,
it's
fun
to listen to. But he'll just be like, man, this fight is stupendous. I'm like, it's not a word, but we're just going to keep powering through in this because you're from Alabama. That might work there, and I don't want to be called racist, so we're going to power through this.
Yeah, okay, stupendous.
Yeah, the stupendous. Like, yeah, no doubt, dog. Well, you heard it here first, Deontay Wilder, stupendous.
Yeah, you guys all got hit a lot, man.
Yeah, you got this, man.
Yeah, you're fine. Say whatever you want to say. I guess that whole thing is going to... I mean, it feels like it's going to keep growing.
I don't know if it keeps going. I was having this conversation with...
It's too much. You always got to follow the money, though.
You got to follow... And that's why Showtime's involved with it.
Of course.
I think it goes as far as Jake... really, Jake. If Jake were to lose to Woodley, they'll do the rematch. If he were to lose both times... I don't know if it sticks around.
But then there's going to be somebody else who goes,
I don't think so.
Really? Mm-hmm. No one else?
It depends how it ends for them. Depends.
Because it feels like...
Like if Jake's like in a fucking...
The parallel... Race, well, yeah.
The other YouTubers are like, oh, fuck this.
The stand-up parallel is, you know, actors and stuff, a show, whatever. They're not at the height of their acting fame. And then they go, I'm going to start doing stand-up. And you see them on the calendars. Like, you're like, this guy's not a stand-up. But he found a way. And it feels like this is like that equivalent of like, you're not a pro, you're not a boxer or a fighter, but they're like, yeah, but I could get people to pay to watch me.
For a short while. The difference with them, it's like those actors, like they're not grinding with us on the road. Like they're just doing it to cover their fucking Malibu house.
Yes.
You know, like that's why they're doing it. They're not doing it because they love stand-up. Jake and Logan love boxing.
They do love
they
it.
They fucking love it, and they've dedicated their lives to it. So it's like, all right, there might be something here. They got to keep winning.
And they're doing that all while continuing to do, I guess, what they do on YouTube or no?
Not really. Like, Jake could do a little bit, but they're not doing like their vlogs or doing all that wild shit. And this is, you know, again, you don't know Logan, but again, smart kid, man. None of this stuff is by accident. Like, Logan's a smart fucking dude.
Yeah, so 26 and doing 26. What he's doing.
So, you know, he's made some mistakes, no doubt. I don't defend his mistakes, but. You know, he was like, no one was taking him serious because he was doing these vlogs at this real like young crowd. And then he was like, I'm going to start a podcast because like I want to talk so people actually get to know me instead of just these, you know, this character I do on YouTube. So he started that podcast, Impulsive. It's one of the biggest podcasts in the world. And now I think a lot of people are like, oh shit, he's not an idiot.
Right.
Oh, this is a normal dude.
Right.
That's why he did it.
Well, it's
that's and then it. he also, you know, obviously he's getting compensated for that, so he doesn't have to do all this crazy wild shit.
Right.
He's in a forest in Japan and shit, you know.
Right. Well, smart move. Yeah.
But with him, but then I'll make last point, and then we can get off fucking Logan Paul's nuts. When, you know, I saw him before the fight, talked to him, and I said, for you just to not get knocked down in four rounds is a win, dude, here. Like,
yeah.
Going into this, I want you to know, like, if you can last four rounds, the best of all time, with your experience, this is a win, Bubba.
Did you think, because I've heard people say this, and I'm like, I don't know if that's exactly what we're looking at, but people go like, Floyd knocked him out and then carried him. And so I'm like, he wasn't knocked out.
I'm telling you, if that camera's the ring, my seat was closer.
Really?
Like, I was fucking there.
But you know the footage I'm talking about.
No, yeah. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah. I was like, well,
I saw Logan, like, trying to get him to carry his weight.
Yes.
And that was Logan's game plan. Like, right. Being the bigger guy, get him to carry his weight. Saw that.
Lean on him a lot.
Trust me, if Floyd wanted to knock him out,
yeah,
he's not going to let him do that. He would have brushed him off. He wouldn't have held him up. There's no reason to do that.
I thought Floyd, because I started to see him work the body more, and I was like, well, this is the experience of a world-class
fighter. My prediction was fourth round, he stops him due to body shots.
Yeah.
So if you're not really
He
was giving him a few, but then, you know, the problem there is you got a big young kid, 26 years old, way bigger. Floyd's 44. And what I'm telling you, man, I've been around Floyd. He looked 44, man.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing him in the locker room. I was like, oh, wow, he's 44 years old.
Right.
And he looks it. And this is a problem.
Right.
Meaning he's not like, he'll win.
You're not like, oh, this guy.
But that's what, when I went back to Logan's locker room after the fight, I went back and I was juiced because I was like, dude, you won. Meaning. Yes. You didn't get knocked out.
Right.
You didn't win the fight. If they went to judge a scorecard, you lost the fight.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you, with your experience.
It's a win.
Going eight rounds, I go, bro, you win. Be excited. Yeah. Like, you guys should be fucking thrilled that your son's not fucking broke his neck out there.
Yeah.
Like, eight rounds with the best of all time. He's never won a fight. He only has two fights.
You still know your name. You know your birthday and everything.
Good,
it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah. Now, that's great.
So that's what I was excited for. I'm like, this is best case scenario for you. I mean, unless you knocked him out, but that's not happening. But this is great.
How many jobs do you have, dude?
Well, you know, I think Showtime probably like me to work like real boxing fights and like Bellator and other organizations have asked me.
You can't.
It's not. I don't. I have no interest in doing it.
Okay.
I like the kind of the shit show, like the fun of the Logan and Jake stuff, and I'll work the Jake stuff for Showtime. But other than that, like, I'm good, man. I don't want
full podcast schedule, touring schedule.
With touring schedule and like, I'm not, yeah, and kids the biggest thing. Like, that's the biggest thing I learned from the pandemic. It's like, oh, I work too much.
Yeah.
I knew I worked too much because when I saw Floyd, I was like, I don't know who I am. And he's with his entourage and I'm walking in the restaurant and he's walking out and he goes, oh, you that white boy that works too much.
That's what he said?
Yeah. He's like, I see you everywhere, man. You that white boy works too much. And I was like, yeah, I got a problem.
Yeah, Floyd says that.
It feels good. You know who I am, but also I got a problem. But in the pandemic, I told my agent, I'm like, hey, no more 3-4 weekend tour dates. Two dates a month, unless there's like a one-off or a special occasion. But two, and I'd like them spread out, not back-to-back. I don't want to be gone for my kids. Do you know how it is? When you have a kid, dude, when they're one, if you leave for 5 days, come back, I'm like, he's fucking... Like, it's speaking Spanish?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's true.
What the fuck?
It's true. The leaps, I mean, you know, they make.
Who the fuck throwing that? Who's he? Who's throwing? You don't know how to football. How's he know how to throw a football?
I learned from somebody else, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm like, stop calling me Tom, dude. Yeah.
Tiger's all. Uncle Dave was around. I'm like, we don't have an Uncle Dave.
Yeah. Who's that
What's up, dog?
What's up? Where's Dave at?
Where's Dave at now?
Don't worry about it, Tom.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't want to miss that shit, man.
No,
for anything.
It is the best. And yeah, you do, like, you come home and it's a new thing.
The best.
Yeah, you miss.
And it's also, you know, especially, you know, obviously pandemic, LA was shut down, but now LA's open up. I'll start doing some spots, but I'm not doing spots like I used to. Yeah. I was doing Monday through Thursday, then on the road Thursday through Saturday, Sunday off. I was doing
too much.
Too much. But
you're
but
that
also,
fucking, you're that white boy that works too much, man.
I'm the white boy that works too much. You right, Floyd. You right,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, yeah.
You right, dog. Yeah, white boy who works too much. But at the time, like, when I was doing, you know, I've been headlining for, you know, I've been on the road 6 years now, dude. Mm-hmm. 6 years. So when I started, I had to do that to at least be able to keep up to what was demanded of me. Like, it's what was required.
Well, you have, it'd be like, you know, going to fight and be like, yeah, I'm just not going to train. Like,
I'm good with once a week. It's like, but you're the main event, dude.
Yeah,
just once a week.
No.
Like, people are paying to see you. Yeah, once a week.
Once a week's fine.
So I took that as like, oh, I need to. I needed, you know, you got to work on the craft.
But now you know how to manage it. That's the key. Yeah. Where's that date? We're going to, what's the big show you got coming
up? Oh, big one. So I think probably the biggest show I've ever done. It's San Antonio, September 24th through the 25th. It's one show each night at the AT&T Center in San Antonio.
Dude.
It's the outdoor theater out there.
That's exciting, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Big boy move.
Congratulations.
Thanks, brother.
And people can get tickets at
FATKZ.com. FATKZ.com.
FATKZ.com. Okay. Always a pleasure, dude.
Love you, man.
Love you too, man. Thank you for coming. Thanks for doing this for me.
Come back to LA more.
I will.
Come out here.
All right. See you guys.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call